This week, we've learned that Pokemon faint apparently due to, quote, extreme weather against their frail bodies. What Onix wants moss growing on the north-facing side anyway? This is just one story in tonight's news of award law and more, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 710 for this December the 10th of 2017. My name, Rob Roberts, here with you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. And if you want, you can follow her on Twitter at Dark Sakura. Yeah. O-L-R, right? Dark Sakura underscore O-L-R.
No, it's just Dark Sakura.
Oh, is it on Twitter it is?
My YouTube is Dark Sakura O-L-R, which doesn't have really any content other than Julian saying Dalek when he was three.
That would have a million views, I would think.
No, it has like 20.
Well, how are you, Dark Sakura?
I'm feeling better now that I've got food in me.
I'm glad you're feeling good. I was sick all week.
I'm sorry.
I'm really glad.
Who had to go to the Ingress thing last week, Rob?
Yeah, so I did the Ingress thing last week, and clearly I caught something there. Well, you guys didn't get sick, luckily.
You're around all those diseased people.
But I'm actually kind of happy we had the shorter show last week, because once you guys left, and, you know, sometimes I'll do Twitch streaming after the show, but I was like, I just don't know if I feel it last week. And then sure enough, after you guys left, I'm like, uh-oh, scratchy throat, sniffly nose. And then I wake up Monday morning, and it's just like, dun, 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 you're sick. And it's like these symptoms, I can't shake them at all. It's
clearly
horrible. High Tech Master Loki.
He caught the Jarvis virus.
leave. And that's the shit I've been putting up with for over 15 years over there from Tech Master Loki.
Yes.
I hope you're not feeling like crap like I've been.
No, I just have a moderate, minor cold, I guess. Uh-huh. It's just like the end of a minor cold, so no, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I've actually been kind of tired, but I'm sticking to it because I will be off work for a month at the end of the year.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah, so and I actually may miss a couple of shows after that, so I'll go ahead and let everyone know for the five people who appreciate me on the show.
Oh, stop.
Well, I'm sorry, I have to go in the kitchen and make a sandwich.
Did somebody? Oh yeah, that was the Twitter thing,
and I'm still mocking them 15 years later.
Yeah, actually, if Jamie were to make you a sandwich, you'd be pretty lucky. She's a pretty good cook, but she's under no obligation to do any such thing.
But that's right. Next weekend, I have to make latkes.
Oh yeah, because
it's the Hanukkah latke fest.
Yay, latke show!
Yay!
I have to mention. So okay. My kids like watching crap on Netflix, and they have all the holiday shows or episodes for different shows on Netflix. So one of those is Home, and they have a song in there called 8 Days of Latkes.
Oh, that sounds
great.
It's
fucking awesome. Like, it's just a hilarious song, but I thought of you.
Oh.
So you said there you wanted to let the 5,000 people that like you know.
500,000. Whatever. So, yeah, I'll be off the show for a couple of weeks, but it's nothing, you know, crazy. It'll just be I'll be recovering from some surgery. That's all.
All right. Well, we'll miss you.
What will you throw? Will you throw latkes at me?
Sure.
Okay.
I am scheduling, just so you know, in your absence, I am working on, I need to figure out what day specifically you're not going to be here, but I am working on that Babes of Ingress edition when you're not here. I'm actually kind of bummed you won't be here,
Lord.
But I wanted to have some strong females on
maybe
the show.
Maybe I can do a phone-in.
Yeah, of course. That would be fun.
If I'm not, you know, feeling like...
All right. Well, anyway, let's get into video games, because we are a show that talks about video games, game culture, and all that.
And food.
And once in a while, food. And I know I talk about this, I kind of repeat this story every few months, but with as long as this show's been around and the discoverability of this and the word of mouth and everything, I know sometimes you guys find OLR, you know, you may not have even realized this show's been around as long as it has. We're like a really good kept secret on the internet, like a really, really, really good kept secret, because like...
We're everyone's sassy aunt.
Like Jamie said, only five people really know. But we love our chatters. There's much more than five of you there in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, where you can find lots of hidden secret great podcasts over there, such as The Geek Card is just back from hiatus. Shout out to The Geek Card. Lovely duo there from Europe that talks about a lot of different geeky things. And let's see, what other show am I going to spotlight? Oh, Electric Sisterhood. I don't talk about them enough. I love those two girls, though, and they talk about video games as well. But there's tons of room for lots of video gaming shows on the network. So I have to give one more shout out because, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this, but it was on social media and it wasn't marked private. So congratulations to Captain Spike at Game Buoy because he got engaged. So, woo. All right. So anyway, those are some shows at Vogue Network. But the story I like to tell every few months here at OLR or so is how we all met, because where did Orange Lounge Radio come from? Why are you called Orange Lounge Radio? Because myself, Dark Sakura, Loki, we all played a game called Dance Dance Revolution at the arcades. And this was back in the day when arcades actually had like people that visited them regularly for not ticket spitting games.
And we didn't give a shit if y'all were on our lawn.
Yeah, you had fans of street fighting games, like, you know.
Dude, SVGL was Capcom's test place. Yep. So that would, I was like, rival schools.
Racing games, because that's right when, not Wangan, but the other one. Initial D. Think, why can't I remember that? That's like right when Initial D was starting to take off and all that. So you had, you know, racing games, fighting games, you know, other types of games, and music games. So we all met playing a game called Dance Dance Revolution, which, you know, was a part of a series by a video game company you all know. Unfortunately, in the past couple of years, it's mostly negative reasons, but Konami used to be a very different company. They had, you know, more offices, more production teams, and so forth, and they were responsible for a lot of these different types of games called that they put under a series called Bomani. Well, the reason why I bring all of this up this week and tell this story again, even though I'm a broken record to some of you longtime listeners, is that Bomani actually turned 20 years old this past week, because the original Beatmania, so that was the very first game in the whole that started the whole thing off. Bomani, Beatmania, get it right. So Beatmania came out December 10th, 1997.
98. That's right.
No, 97, because it's 20 years old. DDR came out in 98. So, but
that's right. I was playing BM98 because that was one of the
The simulators, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
No, but the original and you know, it's so close to the end of the year too. But technically, the original Beatmania was December of 1997, so it turned 20 years old this past week. So I thought it would be worth acknowledging that here at the top of the show, that, you know, this series, that this show basically owes its thanks to. And if you didn't know, Orange Lounge is the name of one of the in-house bands that did songs in DDR. And so we kind of picked that as our name because not only the ties to Bomani Games, which we were exclusively talking about in those first few years of the show, but just the fact that, you know, we're lounging around talking about games. I don't know. Does that kind of still work? Do you picture us all kind of in big orange furniture talking about game, even though the furniture actually really isn't orange? Spoiler alert. But it could be. I did find an orange couch not that long ago, and I thought about it. I really thought about it. Anyway, let's see. going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. S200 Matt says, Golfland was the place back in the day. I know Mesa Golfland got a lot of things early. Yeah, there was more Golflands a few years ago, too. Some of them have closed since then. Act Deft points out the song 1998 in DDR Extreme. Yes, but that is because of DDR's anniversary, which was the next year where Dance Dance Revolution came from. But without Beatmania, we would not have Dance Dance Revolution or anything that really came after that, which DDR is really still out there today. I know it kind of hibernated for a few years, but, you know, there's been some more recent mixes lately, and there's kind of a whole bunch of new community that's really into this DDR Ace. I know they're doing an old school tournament, freestyle tournament next month. I talked about it a few weeks ago, so I'm very excited to check that out in January in San Jose. So, yeah, lots to get excited about. Anyway, before we get into some of the more current gaming news, because I know we want to get into the Game Awards and some of those announcements and so forth, I wanted to just quickly kind of ask, how did you guys get introduced to Beatmania or whatever music game it was? How did you get introduced to it, which ultimately led you basically to finding each other at Golfland, where this show came from? Loki.
I think I saw it, a DDR 4th mix at an anime expo. So I saw it at Fanime. They had it set up in an arcade room. I was like, what the hell's that? I'm like, I've never seen anything like that. And they bought the soundtrack, and I just kind of got interested in it. And then I ended up in the arcade, and there was.
How about you, Dark Sakura?
I first heard of Beatmania when I was still living in Alabama, because I moved out here in 99. I take that back. I moved out here in 99. And then I had gotten into playing BM98. So I had the little emulator you know, where I was playing a lot of BM98 and I really enjoyed it. It had all the songs. And then I moved out here. Was it 98 I moved out? Yeah, I think it was 98 that I moved out here. Anyway. And then I don't even know what it was, but I think it was the very next year was when Dan got me Second Mix for my birthday on Dreamcast. Yeah, it had to have been somewhere around there, because we already had our import Dreamcast for a while. I may be getting my years kind of mixed up because I'm old. But I had gone on this rampage hunting down DDR machines, and there was the one at Country Club Lanes, and then they eventually got one at Crestview Lanes. And Crestview's like, wait, that was also the only place I've ever seen a Blazing Star arcade machine, short of California Extreme. But yeah, I just like really got into it, and then I started getting into all the other Bemani. So, but yeah, for me, it started with Beatmania.
First time I ever met you was when we took a road trip from here in Sac. Some of us DDR players, we took a road trip to Milpitas Golfland, I think it was, to play Paradise, whatever, yeah. Which had just come out, or at least made it over here.
I stayed up all night watching videos to learn some of the dances.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I only need like half of them.
I don't remember don't remember the very first time I met Loki. I think it was just some random Roseville Golfland night, because I think that's kind of where we connected.
Yeah.
Probably thanks to DDR Freak. So I just remember, this is really the early days of OLR, but I remember, which will always crack me up to this day, the contest that you did, because you used to be able to edit step files on a PlayStation 1 version of the game. You could actually bring your memory card and plug it in. Well, when
we went to that distribution place,
when Loki worked for the video distribution place, he used to have all these like Skinemax films that he would just get for free, you know? So he did a contest once called Make, Edit, Get Porn.
Yes,
I think it was a part of OLR. I think we covered it in the early episodes. So you did the Make, Edit, Get Porn contest, and that skinny guy Dave won, right?
Yeah.
Which I wonder whatever happened to that kid. There's so many people from the early days of OLR. I have no idea where they went these days. Yeah. But I'll see people like Puppy. You remember Puppy?
He's
coming to
Puppy.
The show all the time. Like, I see him and his daughter, and I'm like,
fucking
wait a minute. You used to be the young kid that was always on the show. He does a lot of really cool, like, Star Wars stuff now. He can actually, like, lightsaber battle.
That's cool. This.
I'm going to have to do, like, a where are they now? Dark Tetsuya did a pretty good one when our show turned 10, but I need to get, like, some audio or some video of some, like, the where are they now of the early OLR people.
I still have the memory card with my another edit on it for, I don't even remember what song it was, but I knew it was called Another because I made the steps go with the rhythm of the another version of the music. And so I actually used that one. Now that I think about it, I think Sinan was the one that beat it. I don't remember what his nickname was on DDR Freak. Mm. But I said, if anyone can beat it, I'll buy them dinner.
Nice.
He beat it. Then he said,
I saw my memory cards. They're in a pouch. I know exactly where they are, actually.
Nice. I have my Final Fantasy VII save card, which was on a third-party one that didn't lose all of its files, so I can still kill Aerith over and over.
SSH 100 Matt in chat says, Drew is still the intern. He is. He'll always be the intern, but he kind of grew up at some point.
Drew's my coworker.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, he grew up at some point. Anyway.
Drew is a reference for my job.
Quickly, my story. I first saw it. So here's the funny thing. I randomly ended up at Milpitas Golfland because Milpitas is right next to Fremont, and I was in Fremont because I was part of a live Shadowcast screening of Shock Treatment, which is the not quite sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So they actually released a few years later a movie called Shock Treatment, and once in a blue moon you'll find a group crazy enough to actually do a Shadowcast of it. So anyway, so I was in the so my friend and I were like, let's go to this arcade that's nearby, and it was huge, I remember. So we dipped in there, and I remember seeing the machine, and people were doing crazy shit, like doing like the Matrix walks and the flips and stuff. I'm almost positive, because it was Memorial Day weekend, I think we walked into during a DDR tournament, during like the first Milpitas tournament, I think we walked into that. And so that's kind of how I was introduced to DDR. But it wasn't until a year later when I was in Las Vegas, again, for Rocky Horror Picture Show. This was the Rocky Horror Picture Show 25th anniversary, which, by the way, the movie's now 42. But this is the 20—actually, I think it's older than that. No, 42. It was the 25th.
It is now the meaning of life.
It was at the Hard Rock Hotel, but we were staying at, because we were all young 20-somethings, we were fucking broke, so we were staying at Circus. Circus, like what? So,
dude, Circus is neat. Don't knock it.
I don't know. You don't go there in your 30s if you don't have kids.
I did.
Did you? I think it's gross now. I don't like Circus Circus at all.
Because I went with Jessica one time when we were still associating.
Uh-huh.
And we actually went to that Circus Circus a couple of times.
The one in Vegas or the one in Reno?
The one in Vegas. Because we went to watch the performers. I cleaned out their crane games. And we went to play DDR in the basement.
Maybe I'm just being not nice.
And then we drunk called you.
Because I always think of the one in Reno, which is not quite as nice.
But then we drunk called you, and that was funny.
I know, I know. Anyway. So anyway, the point is, I don't know if it's still there, but they had this place called the Adventure Dome. That was like where, you know, all the arcade stuff was. So we were in the arcade and we saw this DDR machine. It was Jessica was there with me, who used to be on Understation Live here on this network. She actually, better known in the DDR community as Iguana Girl, she ran those boards on DDR Freak for a few years. So anyway, her and I actually first saw this machine. It was like we were just kind of staring at it with like hearts in our eyes going, we got to play this, because that was right when I was playing like Busta, and for me, remember, it was Busta, Busta Groove in the U.S. I know, but that's what we called it.
Right?
We were playing Busta Groove 2 like all the time. And so we saw this game, and you know, and you get hooked. You hear
it's like Busta Groove in real life.
Kinda. That's kind of what it was. And you know, we saw the game over there, and you know, we hear the little, you know, you know, like the cheesy. Yeah, you can't help but love DDR music the first time you hear it. You just really can't.
I'm actually trying to remember what my first DDR machine was. I know what my first DDR machine was. It was Anime Expo 2000, I think it was, where it was at the Disneyland Hotel. And it was also the year of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the year that everyone started screaming for the chair because there was a chair left on stage. And we camped out in the room playing Third Mix.
I know, yeah, you
Third
guys like
Mix.
Stayed up all night. I know.
Yeah.
But it was mine was the original DDR that I guess got imported. But it's this song. It's this fucking song.
That was
song.
Actually one manufactured for the US market.
It's this song.
That's the first song I called. Not Butterfly, but actually I remember now seeing someone playing Beatmania and they were playing Metal Gear Solid.
You know,
and I was like, oh man, it's so awesome, I gotta get that.
You know what made me feel kind of old on that particular event with the Third Mix?
Hmm.
Was walking around singing along with Xanadu, because I was super happy, because I'm one of seven people in the world that like Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
And I was singing along with it. My friend's like, I thought you never played this before. You bitch. This movie's old, okay? It was old then.
What is Mr. Smush doing?
He's playing in bags.
And then I discovered the Olivia Project.
Bags. So anyway, I never finished my story. But
sorry.
No, that's okay. The end of my story is...
Not sorry.
It's going to be one of those nights here at OLR. Let's just be real. It always is one of those nights at OLR. The fact is, at we started playing this game, and we couldn't fucking stop playing. We just played all fucking night, and suddenly it was... We missed Shock Treatment. Again, it's always comes back to this fucking movie, Shock Treatment, that ruined my life. We missed the Shock Treatment screening on Friday because we were playing DDR all fucking night. So that's the end of the story. So, and then found out I think I went on this new tool called the internet, and I found out that Roseville Golfland had a DDR machine. So Jessica and I went over there, and Princess Irene, I'm pretty sure, was a part of this too. We all went over there, and then that's when we met the rest
that's
of you, and OLR started from there.
Friends with, why can't I remember her name now? Who ended up like marrying your ex-roommate?
Oh, yeah, that whole thing.
But anyway.
Those people, yes.
But that's where I met her.
Mm-hmm.
And that also led to me meeting more people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of grew from there, and that became like our hub.
Yeah.
Like, no. I remember that we had a birthday party for somebody there.
It was, and I'm pretty sure it was that same girl you were referencing, but it was yeah. the Cheers bar of nerds.
And then we went to Brookfield's.
Yes. So, anyway. I had to acknowledge the whole Bomani being 20 years old here at the top of the show, because obviously without it, we wouldn't have OLR. So I'm very excited to see what the future looks like.
I miss Rick.
So, where is that? I fucking worship Rick. I remember that guy.
Yeah, he got married to Mary.
Worship Mary, yeah.
And then they vanished.
I hope they're okay. Rick, Mary, if you're out there, we miss you.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Anyway, what was I going to say? Or what was his cousin? Timmy?
Yeah. Who was the son of
He had a
person.
He had a well-known family, yeah.
Whose friend tried to stalk me. And then
I don't remember.
Yeah, his friend was like sending me like harassing messages.
Uh-oh.
And so I IP traced him and got his address. Because back then it was actually easier to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, VPNs and all that were still new. And so I sent him a net send. Not a net send. I messaged him somehow, linked his address and IP. I was like, you talk to me again and I am going to report you to the police.
You were
and
always...
Timmy apologized to me.
Well, Timmy was a good young citizen.
That hung out with assholes.
Well, a lot of little boys hang out with assholes. Anyway, where was I?
I don't know. You're pointing at me or like shaking
your... I know. I was shaking my finger at you for some reason. I don't remember. We were talking about... I wanted to get into another topic, but I guess... Oh, I know what it was. Because before the show... So our pal Shane is in Japan right now, and he's been taking video of all these games. And so speaking of like the future of Bomani... You were mentioning, did you see this one that has been around there? And I know, I think he posted a video of this too.
Dance Rush is what it's called. Yeah. So it's kind of looks like a little bit like DDR. But imagine like if you're playing DDR but stepping on a giant touchpad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really necessarily arrows that you follow. It's kind of like a little bit like, I guess, you know, when they tried to do like the Kinect stuff with like DDR where you'd have to jump and move your arms in certain ways and stuff. Okay, so... Basically, the entire stage has like this like pixelated look on it, and everywhere you step, it just like makes like glitter and explosions.
Oh,
everywhere.
I know what this is. It was originally called Step Star.
And then, so they have this like
it's definitely an evolved version.
Its first beta was called Step Star.
Okay,
because that sounds like steps. I'm gonna look it up.
So then, so basically, yeah. So you have all this stuff, and they integrate like slides in there. So you have to like step with certain feet on certain things. You have to kind of drag your feet along the ground to match where, you know, the highlights are, and then there's spots where you have to jump, and spots where you have to kind of like dip down a little bit.
Okay, here's the problem. When I started playing DDR, I was 22, 23. By the time I get to one of these machines, I'm going to be 40. So am I going to be able to do this? I don't. Think
I don't
so.
Know. It's a little less. Fast pace, it seemed like, from the stuff I saw. But what's kind of cool about it too is they also have like this like selfie. It records video footage, which is kind of cool. So you can actually watch yourself play, and they add the like stupid like Instagram effects and shit on there. But it looks cool.
All right, so here's the names it's gone through. It was first Step Star in July, then Shuffle Dancers with a Z, then
Shovel.
Shuffle.
Oh, shuffle.
Like what you do with the deck of cards.
Dance Generations in September. And so now I guess it's supposed to be its final name.
I like Dance Rush. I like that better. Step Star's okay, but the other two I don't like. So
it looks cool, though. I would like to try it.
So anyway, so the future of Bomani is, you know, even though Konami's made some interesting life choices, you know, as one of our favorite drag queens on television, Dark Sakura, likes to say, choices. When it comes to...
I was thinking of Sassy Gay Friend. Look at your life. Look at your choices.
When it comes to Konami lately, we hope the Bomani series will stay strong. And even stuff that isn't technically Bomani, but I'm sure owes, you know, a lot to the music gaming community and music games becoming bigger, such as DJ Max, I know, has had a presence at PSX this weekend. And, you know, I think we'll come up later in the show. We're going to be talking about that is releasing in the U.S., which I think is a great thing. So, you know, all the music games, it's going to be great. So anyway, transitioning into, we're going to get into a little more current stuff, like what's been going on this week. However, you know, here at OLR... Because we have been doing this show for over 15 years. We're a little bit of a family, just us, you know, here in the room as well with, you know, you guys out there that listen to us every week. So on that note, it's the holidays. And sometimes during the holidays, you do nice things for your friends, which I think Dark Sakura has done tonight. Do you want to set this up, Dark Sakura, with what you've brought to the studio tonight?
Yeah, I brought presents.
So you're early, but actually no, because I guess Hanukkah is this next week, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So you're not that early.
Yeah. So Rob and I put together for Loki's present.
Yeah.
And then
I helped.
Incorporated every few of your suggestions and then went a little crazy. So it's for you and Alan to share.
Okay, I'm excited.
Alan's not here, but he
might be listening.
No, go ahead and open them.
I'm going to open it. Well, Loki, you open yours first.
All
because
right.
This is one we both went in on because Jamie, you know.
I'm excited.
What do you think Loki would like? And we bounced some ideas back and forth and we kind of landed on an idea and was like, yes,
they
that.
Didn't have flamethrowers.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't have flamethrowers. So hopefully, he's opening it now. He's rifling through the box. He's giggling at what he's pulling out. And sure enough.
Domino Rally Racing.
That's right. We got him Domino Rally because we talked about it on a previous episode of the show.
That's hilarious.
Even though I think you said
this yesterday.
Even though I think you said the new ones weren't as cool as the old ones, I was kind of like, you know what? It's still something he could do with his kid. And even if they already have Domino Rally, now they have more Domino Rally.
They don't have Domino Rally.
Oh,
you know what?
Awesome. Good.
If they didn't have that, I was going to get Crossfire.
What are these? There's stuff at the bottom
here. Oh, there's more. What's that?
Yeah,
oh, candy.
Candy. Woo.
Yay. Candy's always a good thing.
Ooh, I like candy.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Fifth Dream says, Dark Soccer got me something cool. Unfortunately, we can't get you a present, Fifth Dream. We don't have a way to get you physical presents. But Dark Soccer, do you have any life advice for Fifth Dream?
Don't suck.
There you go. Some free advice, Fifth Dream.
All right, and so there's one right, more here.
All right, here goes gift number two.
Oh, Legos.
Legos, of course. Of course we got them Legos.
All right. Woo.
Of course we did. What kind of Legos? I don't even know what Legos
shit I'm
getting. So
we got a Brickhead Batman.
Oh, yeah, the ones that look like the the vinyl pop dolls.
Yeah, like the pop dolls.
Y'all know I love pop dolls.
And then one of these like...
Flacco, you out there listening? You know I love me some pop dolls.
One of these giant Lego classic things with a bin to put stuff in.
Something that will not limit your imagination.
Awesome.
There we go.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to have to put all that together, and maybe Jamie can take a picture and put it on Twitter or something.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to open this.
Well, happy ho-ho.
All right, I'm going to open this.
There's some little teeny things in there, too.
Wait, is this an actual... Oh, I thought this was wrapping. Oh, my God. It's a crinkle cat tunnel. So as if Mr. Schmush didn't love paper bags more than anything, mm-hmm. Now he's going to have this tunnel.
And you can undo it in the middle to be a long tunnel.
Oh, boy. It's over
you
now.
You mentioned things for the cat, and I was like, well, things for the cat are technically things for the daddies to watch the cat.
Is this, oh, my God, is this one of those, oh, my God, I was telling JD about this. This is one of those, yes. Okay, JD, if you're out there listening, you know that pillow you have with the sequins where, like, if you rub it down one side, it's one color, and you rub it up the other, it's the other color? So this one is, and hopefully some of you guys know what I'm talking about. This is a...
It's called purple, mermaid fin.
Purple and silver, but it's a mermaid fin, like a Snuggie. I fucking love it. This is great.
Well, you'll have well to share done. It, but...
And now I can like rub down my body and change my mermaid colors from...
But yeah, the whole
to...
bottom fin is that reversible sequin.
I love it. No, ask JD. I sat there like all weekend, like rubbing the sequins on that
now
pillow.
Now you can
I
rub probably, your own sequins.
Now I can rub my own sequins. There you go. I'm so happy. That's awesome. Dang, Jamie, you went all out.
Well, it's for you and Ellen.
Some lanyards. This is good because if you know me and Dragon Con, I always fucking forget lanyards. So I won't do that next
about
time.
One for each of you. You can fight over if you want modern Mario or old school Mario.
Well, obviously, I'm taking old school Mario. And then what's this? This is a...
For Mr. Schmush. That was the thing I almost told you what it was.
It's like, okay, it's a little skull and crossbones outfit.
I pulled the tag off of it because it got broken.
Okay, but
that is... going to murder you.
Oh, I'm so excited
about this. I have one like
this.
That for Midna, but
Jamie,
it's her
there's
leash.
Too much here. You need to stop.
It's for you and Alan,
there's some
so
candles.
There's two people. And smell them. They smell like amazingness.
And some candy. That's good. And then what is this? A little...
I got two of those, one
love
for each
it.
Of you.
Unicorn keychains. And for those of you waiting for video game news, I promise we're getting there.
There's also a little teeny pin in there for you in particular.
Oh, shoot. Little tea lights. That's good.
Yeah. And there's a pin in there if you can find the pin. It's small, so I hope it didn't get lost.
Oh, yeah.
There.
I see it. It's way down here. Oh, it's a little enlightened.
I got that for you to go to events, Etsy.
Oh, okay. Work. So she actually found me an Ingress Enlightened pin. Thank you. That's rad. I'm going to put that on my hoodie that I just got.
Well, you know, I've been kind of broke the last few years, and you guys have done nice stuff for me, so I kind of went all out this year. So
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very nice of you.
Nah, right. Enjoy.
I'm feeling the love here at OLR. You guys are too much. Thank you guys so much. And thank you guys. Merry whatever you celebrate here this December.
We call it Jumas at my house.
Or just, you know, happy holidays, I guess is the good old catch-all. But, you know what I mean. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, whatever it is you're into this time of year. Have a good one. And just, you know, thank you guys so much for being a part of OLR and our continued, you know, growth over the last 15 years. So... You know, we may not be the highest rated podcast out there.
But we have the most heart.
Yeah. Or apparently we're not the highest rated podcast in Sacramento either, based on something I was seeing on Twitter this weekend, but I'm not going
to... Is it about video games?
I'm not going to be shady.
Because it doesn't count.
I'm not going to be shady. What?
If it's not about video games, it doesn't count.
What? No, of course the show's about video games.
I meant the other podcast.
Yes, it is.
Well...
I'll show you later.
I'm kidding.
All right.
I already know who you're talking about.
Did you see the same thing I saw?
No, but I suspect.
Oh, I see.
Just based on the people I follow. But hey, you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, what...
They pimp themselves out more than we do.
As long as you're number one in our in your hearts, that's all we need. That's all
better
we need.
Number one in your heart than number one in the toilet.
All right, let's move on. let's talk about the Game Awards for this week. That was, hey, you know what? I know we've given these award shows a lot of shit over the years, and rightfully so, to be quite honest. Especially the years they were on Spike TV. But I got to give credit where credit is due. Now, I didn't see the whole thing. Disclaimer. I've been sick this week, so I kind of passed in and out and saw little bits and pieces. But what I saw, I do have to admit, I was like, you know what? This really isn't turning out half bad. Sure, there's things they could do better. Like, I don't like the whole that they'll, like, bring somebody up on stage and be like, they also won the award for best RPG and best, like, and kind of do that. I think what they should do, I understand it's only, like, a 3-hour show or something like that, right? If they need to cut corners for time, then what they need to do it kind of like the Grammys do. You know, have your opening, do maybe an award in the beginning, and then be like, let's take a look at some of the other categories that were given out before the show tonight, and then just do a quick montage for like 3 minutes covering the categories you're not going to do on TV, and then you did it. You
huzzah.
Did it. Huzzah, you did it. And that way, if you do the pre-production of all that, you won't forget anything either. Huzzah! That would be my suggestion. But honestly, it could be a lot worse. And it has been a lot worse. But some things that they did right, like I did see at the end when they had the orchestra playing all the stuff from the games of the year, and they actually had the gal, was she lip-syncing the Pauline stuff, or was she actually the voice of Pauline doing that live?
I don't know.
If she was the voice of Pauline doing that live, that was really impressive. I think she was doing it live. I mean, or she's a good enough lip syncer to be on Drag Race. That's for sure. So, I mean, I love that, you know, I think we all like the video game orchestra stuff. It kind of brings more artsiness to our art form that we really enjoy. So, you know, there's a lot of things that Game Awards are doing very well. So, you know, I don't want to always be negative here at OLR. There are some, you know, good things amongst the, you know, challenges out there in the gaming industry, but I think for the most part, they've come a long way. So anyway, big news came out of the Game Awards. You know, Jeff Keighley, who puts this whole thing on, he's worked very hard to make this a, I don't want to say like a winner E3, but certainly like the must-see winner event. And I would say, honestly, he took a lot of steam out of PSX, I think. A lot of these announcements could have been PSX, but they weren't. So we'll get to PSX a little later, though. But we had some announcements that came out of the Game Awards. Dark Soccer, you have a couple news items about the big, big, big stuff at the Game Awards, right?
A couple, yeah. Number one is Bayonetta 3, which is like, I'm glad I own a Switch now.
Now, look, this is a very overused term in the year 2017, but can I just say, yes!
Work.
To Bayonetta 3. I was so, like, I actually woke up from my medication-induced coma.
I mean, it's,
to yes for Bayonetta 3, and then I went back to
it's good that it's coming out.
Yes. Yes.
But I feel it much like how, you know, it's in development, same as Metroid Prime 4 is in development. It's kind of like, I mean, it's good, but it's like, I wish there was something more concrete. You know, like, this is coming out next year. This is coming out 2019. It's like, it's in development, and it'll be coming out someday, like Kingdom Hearts 3. Someday that's coming out. I mean, I guess it's reassuring that at least it's coming out and it's exclusive to Nintendo, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, you know, and when people are thinking about do I get a Switch or not, and don't forget they also had the announcement about Bayonetta, so they did have a day for that. Bayonetta 1 and 2 are coming out for Switch in February, so that's awesome. I'm so happy that Bayonetta 2 is getting a second life and a second chance on a console that more people are buying. Because,
yeah, that's cool.
You know, that was one of the best games on the Wii U, and I think a lot of people really, really missed it. So it really is the best Christmas video game too, if you think about the opening of the game. But anyway, so I'm very excited about Bayonetta. Can I quickly mention, though, I know you have another thing to mention, but I just want to quickly, because I know it's not what you're going to talk about, but when you talk about the whole like announcement leading into years of hype and so forth, this is a challenging place that I'm kind of at with Death Stranding. Okay. So one of the other things they brought to the Game Awards was a new Death Stranding trailer, right? Where it's like, okay, Kojima's M-Prague fantasy. What mm-hmm. is it? Ooh, so mysterious. Much wow. You know, that whole thing. But with Death Stranding, like, I'm kind of hitting that point. And I think I wrote a very sassy tweet about this that some people wanted to fight me on. And I said, okay, do you know what other game had years and years of hype and we didn't see a single bit of gameplay footage? Yeah, it was called No Man's Sky. Just think about that for a little bit. Now, and then, of course, Kojima, blah, 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 doesn't do bad games. Look. I get it. But my point is, I would just like a little something. It's been a few years. So I'd just like to see maybe a little bit of gameplay, a little hint about what the fuck this is.
They did some stuff, the same type of thing, though, with like some of the Metal Gear Solid games as well. And eventually, I'm guessing probably by E3 we should have gameplay, I would think, because that's what they kind of did with Metal Gear Solid. Remember Metal Gear Solid? He went all crazy with like, oh, hey, I'm not really Kojima. I'm Joachim something or other, and I'm this Swedish guy, and I'm wearing a full face, like, bandage thing, and I have this game coming out called, you know, I don't remember what the hell they were calling it. The Phantom Pain. And it's not Metal Gear, even though it's like, that's Metal Gear. And then, and then, like, you know, then eventually he's like, it's me, Kojima. And they did all this weird shit, and that dragged on for, like, a few years. So this is kind of his MO already, and let's put it this way. Like, this new trailer, I have fucking no idea what the fuck this thing is about. Like, it's just weird and creepy, and I'm confused, and what's this going to play like? I have no idea.
Okay, yeah. All I'm going to say with Death Stranding, look, I'm sure it'll be fine. You know Kojima's great. If this is what PT has turned into, then fucking, you know, PT was fucking amazing.
If you think about it, kind of like Silent Hill, where you'd have everything kind of melt into whatever.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that with the tar stuff. You know?
So look, I'm not saying like I'm going to hate on it or I'm not going to buy it. All I'm saying is, okay, I'm a little done with the hype machine. Next time, let's see some game. But what is the game, though? That's where I'm at. What is the game, though? That's it.
It's you swallowed a baby and there's a baby inside you. And the baby winked at me. And gave me a thumbs up.
I know some people that swallow babies on a pretty regular basis. Anyway. Oh, Jamie, you had some other news.
I was just watching the Capcom Cup winner.
Yeah, but that baby, though, in there is kind of like, you know, the myth. Like, if you swallow a watermelon seed, it's going to grow in your stomach. Well,
how? Bullshit. Your stomach is acidic.
I know.
Anyway.
I know some people that are in trouble.
DLC for The Legend of Zelda. Breath of the Wild. The Champion's Ballad DLC Pack 2 is, I believe, out already. And looking things over on it, the biggest thing about this is that Link gets a motorbike called the Master Cycle Zero. And it also will let you explore differently. We haven't downloaded it yet, but we will be.
Master Cycle Zero. F-Zero switch confirmed.
Girl.
I'm trying.
You're reaching for it.
I'm trying.
So, right. But yeah, new Zelda stuff.
Maybe it'll be in development someday if they put out enough Pikmin games.
Yeah.
I want them to do like a DLC that's the rebuilding Hyrule where you wander around with Zelda. Or you could wander around as Zelda.
Well, Breath of the Wild, as we all know, won Game of the Year at this point at the Game Awards, which, you know, it's hard to say it's not well-deserved.
I was surprised, though. I thought audience would get it.
It's tough, though, because it's like, I can sit here and say,
because it's
personally, I would have picked Mario Odyssey, but at the same time, it's like, but like, is Breath of the Wild a bad game at all in any way whatsoever, though? No. Were any of those games? Not really. So it's like, I think you would kind of have to be satisfied with any of the winners. But there is, I will say this, it is nice and it is a good thing to see Nintendo win it for a change on a game developed for Wii U nonetheless. There is something very much like cheering for the underdog sort of thing that you do get a... Okay, that's a happy ending sort of thing out of that. You know what I mean? Well, so,
I think the other thing that's really good with this particular DLC is that it's about the four champions.
Mm.
So I think that'll be cool to learn more about them.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All right. So anything else about the Game Awards you guys want to say? Actually, there's a couple other little announcements we should probably mention that came out of Game Awards. Soul Calibur 6 is the biggest one on my mind. That they showed the
trailer. They didn't really show too much of that.
Well,
though.
They showed what it was Sofitia and one of the other guys, Mitsurugi.
Mitsurugi's like the main guy.
Yeah, I think they were fighting each other, and that was kind of the gist of it. But they didn't. Yeah, we don't know what, like, if there's character customization again, or who the guest characters are, or anything like that.
I liked the announcements. They had a lot of VR announcements, which was kind of cool. So Accounting is one that I'm looking forward to. That's just really fucked up. It's done by the guys that did Rick and Morty, and they're actually doing another game as well. But Counting Plus, they've added more stuff to it. And then they announced the sequel to Job Simulator, which is Vacation Simulator, which looks all right. I'll definitely pick that up because I like the first one.
Well, you just answered, come on, Noel Gus's question in chat. Are you going to get Vacation Simulator?
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll get it when it comes out. But those are kind of neat. And then they showed off a trailer for Dream. Remember how they always have those weird tech demos that Media Molecule was showing off?
Yeah.
It's like, finally get what they were trying to do with that. And it's like fucking Little Big Planet just amped up.
Yeah. Little Big Universe.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. So I still don't know what the gameplay is going to be like, but it looks like you can just...
Well, I'm not sure there is. There'll probably be some type of campaign adventure mode, but maybe the sandbox is the game, kind of like Little Big Planet was.
Kind of, yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of interested
you
in
get
that.
To make your dream, all the OLR dream games come true.
But I don't know if that game's VR, because they had some shots in there that made it look like it could be VR, but I don't know if it is. I know it had, Move controller support, but I don't know if it's, a VR game. It'd be cool to see, though. Maybe it's optional.
All right. Some breaking news coming in our chat room. Oh, shit. Sorry, I dropped my phone. Some breaking news coming in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. I guess Capcom Cup is wrapping up. And I think about an hour ago, I should say this, they did announce that there is a Street Fighter collection coming out on PlayStation 4. So it is a Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, and it's basically like every Street Fighter through 1, 2, and 3, and every Hyper 2 and all the other stuff, and Alpha is in there as well, so that's pretty rad. So that's that sounds like it's gonna be a really good collection. They've only confirmed PlayStation because PSX is going on right now. I would hope they think about doing the Switch, but considering they just put a $40 Street Fighter 2 remake on the Switch, maybe not. I don't know. And then they are saying there in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Sakura was just confirmed for Street Fighter 5. Sounds like I know that'll
about
make you
damn
happy.
Time.
That'll make you happy. And then it sounds like they're doing another one right now. Is it who is it, guys? It's Cody from Final Fight? I think is what they're saying there. Is who's being announced right now as our show is going on here on this Sunday evening live at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. So there it is. And Bobby Blackwolf saying they did confirm that collection for PlayStation 4, Xbox, Steam, and Switch. Oh, that's exciting. That's
sucks
great.
For those people that paid $40 for the...
Unless you really wanted that first-person fireball mode.
And also the extra characters that they created that were totally unique. Evil Ryu and... Perturbed Ken or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Oh, ActDef says they're announcing all of Season 3. So it's Sakura, Cody, Blanca, Sagat, and two others. G and Falk are the other two. So there, it's all Season 3 characters. Well, that's cool.
G, as in Eddie Murphy's character.
You're meeting G over there.
I don't think... No, I don't.
That was House of the Dead.
Probably just a new character, I think. Unfortunately, I don't have the video in front of me, so I'm relying on our chatters to kind of fill me in on what's going on there. But that's the breaking news going on right now out of PSX. We'll talk a little bit as well about PSX. We're going to get into that in the news. But first, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was all right. I've had a busy week. So I have been playing with, Pokemon Go and Animal Crossing. I'm almost level 42. And Ingress. Mm-hmm. I just haven't really been doing a whole lot. We've been playing through Super Mario Odyssey a bit more, and that's really about it right now at my house.
Okay.
So not a whole lot.
not a whole lot. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
Sadly, not as in-depth as I would have hoped it would have been, but I did play more of the LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 thing, just kind of unlocking more characters for my kids to play. And then I played a little bit of Ingress, a little bit of Pokemon Go, and a little bit of the Office Space game. Although, I kind of took a break from the Office Space game for a little bit because it's just, I was getting really annoyed of it, and it's just kind of the same stuff over and over again. So I don't know if I'll go back to that or not.
I heard that endless Katamari game you used to play and got me into for a little bit, like, finally came out for Android. So I thought I heard that. Amazing Katamari or something?
It's been out for Android. I had it for Android.
Really? I thought I was reading something just today that, like, it just came out. Is there maybe a second Katamari game or something?
I don't know. Is there a second Katamari game? I may have to play that. No, Tap My Katamari was...
Oh, wait, no. It's not Tap My Katamari. It was called something else, so maybe it is a new Katamari game.
No, maybe it's not. I don't remember if it was Tap My Katamari. Was it Tap My Katamari?
I'm looking... There's a game called Amazing Katamari Damacy. Oh, no, this is not the same game. This is a different runner game.
Well,
okay, Fifth Dream says there's a runner and a clicker game. So Tap My Katamari is the clicker game. Amazing Katamari is the runner. So the runner game just came out for Android.
Yeah.
There you go. I'll have to check that out. Sorry, I don't know why I thought of the other one, but I just I knew that was a game you were into for a hot minute. So
it was all right. Yeah, it just got too like demanding, like grindy, and I just said no, forget it. I don't want to play this anymore. So yeah, I haven't played that, and I don't know. That's pretty much it. My wife got in the Candy Crush, and I shook my finger at her. I'm like, you can't support that game. That game is evil. Don't play that game. The company's just shit. And she's like, I don't get it. Like, I played this game, and I ran out of attempts to play the level. I had to wait for the cooldown. I'm like, it's shit. Don't play it.
Connect her with Ranma. I don't know if Ranma still plays that, but maybe they can send each other lives or something.
I don't even know
how it works. I don't even know if he still plays. I just totally threw him out there.
I just remember
who are the people I knew that liked that game.
So she's playing that, and then really, I mean, it's not gaming.
Which Rama says in chat. Well, it's not like she's watching the game show.
Thank God. No, we're not doing that. But she did finish Friends, so now she's up onto. Fuck, I don't know what other shows she's going to be watching now.
And Rama also says, I haven't played Candy Crush in years. Well, you know what, Rama? You did.
Way to kick the habit.
You did.
So she was playing that. I don't know. Like, so I did watch the Ready Player One new trailer today about a dozen
I wondered when this was going to come up.
Two dozen times. It's fucking awesome. Battletoads are fucking in it. Yeah. And Tracer.
I saw
and
Tracer.
And Chun-Li. And yeah. All the characters.
It's still, now, see, I never read the book, so I still watch it, and I go, this doesn't make sense to me. But it
I
just,
have the book.
It seems like a nostalgia orgy is what's going on here.
It is a nostalgia orgy.
Okay.
And
at least we agree.
I can loan you the book. It's pretty good. It's pretty dumb, but it's fun. It's just...
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Tracer's not 80s.
Well, not all the characters are 80s. A lot of the people had stuff that's based off of 80s characters, but not everybody necessarily had avatars that were from the 80s. It's just a lot of people were into that, and so that's what they made their avatars look like, or they're more nostalgic about it. But it can be anything.
They've also said, don't expect the movie to mirror the book. It's going to be different.
Having read the leaked script and based off the trailers, it seems to be following that. It's not entirely based off of the book. It follows the same kind of plot points, but there are changes. Like, some of the different challenge or trials are different. But, I mean, that makes sense because, like, in the book, the first trial was basically watching someone play a joust game. And it's like, that's not that exciting to watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas... an extreme like racing thing with shit exploding and all these cars everywhere, that's more exciting,
right?
And I'm fine with that,
okay.
So it's gonna be great. I can't wait. I'm already gonna put in my time off at work so I can see that.
That's what a lot of people are doing this weekend for the War of Stars that
yes
is, happening.
I'm right along with it.
See,
and then just because I don't want spoilers, and so I will see that.
I think I saw some fucking, I saw like a Facebook ad that was like basically, like it was an ad for the movie that was basically like, see it before it's spoiled. I was like, fuck you. Like, it was like an official ad that was like, see the movie before some asshole spoils it for you.
I'm worried that someone will spoil it for me. So thankfully, they have shows locally starting at 9 a.m. So
somebody else I know on Facebook was like, I'm going to the 9 a.m. showing so that the crowd will, so that it won't be full.
I'm going to try to make it, but like, this is my day off to basically see all the movies I've missed. So I'm going to see that Thor, Ragnarok. I'm not sure what else is out that I want to see, but I'm going to see a couple movies and just to catch up.
I want to see Lady Bird. I want to see how my city is represented on the big screen. Cause I imagine it's probably
Lady Bird.
Not totally flat. Yeah. Oh, yeah, how have you not heard of that? That's like the movie that has all the Oscar hype around it, you know, because all the critics love it. But it was like made here in Sac, where our show's based, Sacramento, where we're based.
Oh.
It's like some of the landmarks you see. It's like when you see the shot of the Tower Bridge that's in the trailer, I'm like, oh, I know exactly where that is because I've played Pokemon Go there a ton of times.
There I am in the background.
Yeah, I know. As we're walking from Crocker to Old Town, it's like we walk right by that spot. And I'm like, that's where all the homeless people hang out. And it smells kind of like urine all the time. So I'm like, that must have been interesting when they made a movie there. So just there was a thought I had when I saw the trailer. I was like, romantic things don't usually happen in that spot, actually, but such is movie magic, I suppose.
I find your must so attractive. That's not me.
SG100 Matt says Lady Bird is apparently the highest rated movie, most certified fresh reviews on Rotten Tomatoes of all time. I had heard that too.
Well, then I have to not see it because I don't know what the hell it is.
I think, I don't know, it might be. I think it's a girl coming of age film, so I don't know if
it's.
Oh,
I thought
really
it might have been about King of the Hills, you know.
I bet your wife wants to see it. I bet your wife wants. It's probably something your wife wants to see. Darsakra, have you heard of this movie at all?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it or no?
Mm.
I kind of want to see it for the Sacramento stuff, and I do love Laurie Metcalf.
I don't like going to many movies.
So it's not about
Roseanne
Hank Hill's
is
dog.
Like my childhood. What?
Not about Hank Hill's dog.
It is not about Hank Hill's fucking dog.
All right.
Anyway, Act Dev says it's a slice of life movie. There you go. Anyway,
so it's about pizza. Sweet.
No, it is not about fucking pizza. Ah! All right, my gaming week. Oh hi, my video game week. Well, as you can hear, I'm recovering from a cold, so I didn't play a lot of video games this week, honestly. I know it's usually like, oh, if you're sick, you just stay home and play video games all day, but no, I really just wanted to stay home and sleep, and then I didn't really have the energy for video games. But I did play an unhealthy amount of World of Warcraft. There was that. I'm up to, like, on the character I started just a couple weeks ago, I'm up to level 97 now, I think I just hit, so there's that. And then let's see. Besides that, I did play a couple new games on Nintendo Switch. The one I'll mention is I started playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And even though this isn't going to make me the most popular person in the world, I'm going to confess, I'm not getting into it. Like, I started playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I just wasn't really grabbed by the story. And the games don't really have anything to do with each other, right? It's like Final Fantasy. Right,
I
didn't recognize any of the people in it. I think they're like separate stories. But I tried playing through. You know, I was doing some of the first few quests in the first area, and I was like, I'm not feeling this. I wasn't grabbed the same way that on Wii U, Xenoblade Chronicles X or whatever it was on Wii U. I'm just not grabbed the same way I was with that game. So that's my honest opinion. I'll probably try to give it a little more time. And to be fair, again, I've been sick. So I don't really have the attention span for a lot right now. So maybe I just didn't really give this game a fair shot. But yeah, after playing it and I've probably put a couple hours into it, I'm not really super feeling it. Like, I'm not really motivated to go play more. So yeah. Dungeon Buster in chat says XC2 has nothing to do with the first one, but it shares some concepts. So, okay. So that's a fair way to describe Final Fantasy games too. And Dungeon Buster also says, I like XC2, but it's not exactly blowing me away either. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm not like totally being a negative Nancy with that then. I don't know. It's just not grabbing me, but maybe if you're a super RPG fan, maybe there's going to be more here for you. It is portable. The text is really big. The interface looks a lot different so that, like, portable, you can actually read shit. So, you know, that's all pretty cool. But I haven't really been grabbed by the game like I was with XCX. So, anyway. So that was my gaming week. So, some housekeeping real quick. We will be here next week, but then we will be off for two Sundays. We're not going to be here Christmas Eve. We're not going to be here New Year's Eve. However, I will be talking with the co-hosts about maybe we can tape something at a different time. So we're just not going to be in our normal live slot, but I'm hoping we can still deliver something to the podcast feed at least one of those weeks, like a holiday special thing or something we'll do while we're gone. But unfortunately, with the Eves falling on Sundays this year, it's going to be really hard for us to be live.
Especially can you do like an early show or something?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe especially. I'll check in with you guys for like New Year's plans. Like Christmas, I can't even do an early show. Or Christmas Eve, I can't even do an early show.
Yeah.
But New Year's Eve, that's a possibility for sure. So I'll check your guys' schedule and so forth. So that'll be that. So if those of you that come here live and listen on Sunday nights, we'll be here next week, but then you're not going to find us here, same bat time, same bat channel for a couple weeks. So I just want to warn you guys now. SJ100 Matt says, will you do a special with your games of the year? Probably. That'll probably be something we do in that show.
We got to do the time capsule.
Yeah, and the time capsule.
Maybe that'll be next week. There.
So, yeah. Not next week. We'll save that. So that way you guys have a reason and motivation to go listen to the special show.
Oh.
So we'll do that. I'm thinking an early taping will be good. Everybody fucking wants to know about the time capsule.
I can't believe I forgot what's in there. I mean,
Here's the miracle. You could do... I believe the shows in our archive, you could go back to like episode, I think like 430 or something right now in our archive. And then if you want even further back, just ask Dark Tetsuya. He has a little key to the vault that has like episode one if you really want to hear it, even though it's hard for me to listen to episode one now. It's pretty bad. But anyway, you know, you live, you learn, you grow. but anyway, we could just go back and listen to the episode in June when we did it. But that's the funny thing is that, you know, with the gamer attention span, we knew we weren't going to remember that far back. So
I don't remember what I said.
I know. I don't remember what I said. I have no fucking idea what's in that thing. Just little slips of paper. It's probably just going to be like Jamie handwrote things like give me a dollar and falafel. She probably just wrote on scrap.
I do like falafel.
Anyway. All right, but we will. I can already tell you the time capsule will return in 2018, but it will be a proper time capsule. So that will be something we will do live on January 6th or 7th or whatever the Sunday is, the first show back. So please look forward to it. All right. SJ100 Matt says, probably pictures of crudely drawn dicks and boobs. Probably. All right, let's get into some gaming news. It was actually a very busy week because we had the Game Awards and we had other stuff, right?
That's all this like stuff that you just didn't even know that was there, and you know, all of a sudden, yeah. You know. So there was some announcements made at PSX, which had its opening night just a couple days ago. So some cool additions, one is which, I don't know how vomit-inducing this is going to be, but Wipeout Omega Collection is getting a VR mode, so that'll be intense, I'm sure. So look forward to that.
That sounds completely unhealthy, but I'm actually kind of into it.
I think, wasn't that one of the free games that they gave out with...
was Wipeout Omega free? I bought it. I have the Blu-ray, so... Huh. Yeah, I don't know if they gave...
Know if that was a PlayStation Plus game or not, but...
I feel like they gave away one of the games that's remade in the collection they gave away at one point.
Oh, maybe.
Like, on PlayStation 3, but I don't think they gave away the collection yet.
Okay. Well, no worries. God of War, they're saying, though, that apparently the game is going to be quite long, whereas the previous God of War games were been about, like, 10 hours long. This one's going to be 35 to 40 hours long, which, considering it's a linear game, that's a pretty long game. So, interesting. They were saying that, talking a little bit about Detroit Become Human, I guess you can ask about, they said, emotional shocks. So they're talking about how, I guess...
Why do I need those from a video game when 2017 has been delivering to me in real life on a regular basis? I don't need any more emotional shocks. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so there's... I don't know. It looks interesting talking about... I don't know. It's pretty much like the other games that they've made.
MXC in chat over at live.vognetwork.com about Wipeout said, surprisingly not that vomit-inducing, and I'm not particularly great with VR, but it's absolutely intense. Okay, how do you know that, MXC? Were you at PSX this weekend? Or did they do a demo on PS4 or something when I wasn't looking?
Did he go... Did they do the live theater experience thing or something like that? Because I don't know if they didn't have like a keynote.
Oh, MXC says, oh, yes, I did go to PSX. Oh, that's great. Oh. I hope you call in later. I'd love to hear more.
Medieval is getting remastered for PlayStation 4. So that's something.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
They're going to do a VR standalone experience for The Last Guardian, which will, I guess they're saying that's coming out as a demo actually in a couple days, so December 12th. Monster Hunter World is going to feature Mega Man in there, which looks kind of weird, but okay. It's like a pixelated 3D 8-bit Mega Man, but not, I don't know. They're saying that maybe in the future that you'll be able to change your PlayStation Network name. So that might be something that's coming soon.
But this is really fucking hard for Sony to do, isn't it?
Apparently, I guess.
It's like, you know, it's like they're trying to invent the cure for a disease over there to change your fucking name on PlayStation Network. My God.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it right now as far as like some of the announcements that they have like during the first day. So interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like the event this year was a little different from other years, especially, you know, they didn't really have that bang up announcement thing that they did.
Yeah, there was kind of like,
we're just going to smoke pot and chill here on Friday night. Like, I actually watched a little bit of that and I was kind of like, basically they were doing a podcast but on stage with hundreds and hundreds of their friends.
I'm disappointed that they didn't have any announcements regarding backwards compatibility.
Oh, and they set it up for that, too. Like, one of the guys, there was a Sean Layden, had actually kind of set up for that. Like, it's not like you can go into a store and go get a PSX or something like that. And the whole audience is like, yes, 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 I'm gonna. And then he's like, and that's why we're remastering Medieval. And you just hear the whole, like, polite golf clapping in the audience. Like, yay, we get to buy it again.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I kind of disappointed. I just wish that they would do something about it.
I would have liked to have gone to PSX. I wish the year had been kinder to me so I had more vacation time to do that. But maybe next year. Just wasn't in the cards for me this year. But then next year, I have to debate if I'm going to go to Final Fantasy Fan Fest or maybe even BlizzCon. Like, so many conventions, so little time. The struggle. The struggle. Anyway. How about some other news?
I'm sorry, I can't stop watching the Sakura trailer.
Oh, that
was Street Fighter V.
Just announced. How's she look?
She looks really good, but this is what's a neat touch, is that, you know how normally when one of the characters does something that, you know, they put their key into, it's either charged blue or something. Mm-hmm. Hers are all pink with cherry blossoms.
Can I just point out here in this moment, we're talking positively about Street Fighter V here at Orange Lounge Radio. Just note that down. Note that down.
Plus,
right date and time.
I fucking love her outfit. And I might have to do that outfit like, in the future.
I haven't said anything about Street Fighter V.
Maybe this is a great Diablo 3 style turnaround.
I have no interest in Street Fighter V.
I like
because
Street Fighter.
It's not a very
oh my
good
god!
Game.
In the background here is like her backyard with her little brother playing video games again. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That just makes me super happy inside.
Well, this is going to make a lot of people happy, and it's one of those things where I would say it's kind of obvious, but it's nice to have the confirmation, especially when the developers were moving on to another big game out of the Marvel universe. Square Enix did confirm that a new Tomb Raider game is happening, but they didn't say anything else. It was not featured at the Game Awards. It was not featured at PlayStation Experience. Little weird that they kind of just announced this on Twitter with kind of like an open letter, but perhaps, I'm going to speculate, maybe originally they were going to announce it at one of these events. Something happened, schedule got pushed back a bit, and so they decided now's not the time to do it. But for whatever reason, they didn't announce it with a big trailer or anything, but they did confirm we're working on it. So there will be a third Tomb Raider game. By the way, remember that we saw the name Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I think trademarked or something not that long ago. So it's very possible that's the name. But of course, if they want to change it, who knows? Their statement said, Square Enix is excited to share some big news with you next year. Honestly, we wish we could share it with you right now, but we're taking a new approach this time. Driven by our goal of putting our fans first, we want you to know that it won't be very long between the official reveal and when you can play. That's also a very interesting.
That has me concerned because we did
that?
We did see a trailer during the whole Game Awards called Shadows Die Twice. So
I don't think, Loki, you're reaching. You know you're reaching. This isn't fucking Kojima, Swedish developer, Phantom Pain shit, okay? It's not, there's no reason for the Tomb Raider
but
folks
she's
gonna to
have twice as bad of a day.
No, it's three times.
Three times.
Three times the bad day.
Three times.
Third times, not the charm for Lara Croft. As she gets eaten by a bear.
Lara Croft in the no good, horrible, very bad day.
Our journey together will begin with a major event in 2018. We simply can't wait to take you on Lara Croft's defining adventure. That makes it sound a little final, doesn't it? I don't know.
It's just hype words.
Here's another thought. Do you think maybe there's a tie-in for the movie? Do you think maybe they're going to maybe they're going to show the trailer for the game with the movie, and then the game is going to be out that fall? That would be an interesting way to do it, in my opinion.
Don't rush the game.
I don't think they're rushing the game. It's been, what, Rise of the Tomb Raider was, like, last year on, no, I think it was, like, 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago, because they have the stupid time exclusive.
So if it's next year, I mean, honestly, they've had a good 3 years to do it. Now, granted, assuming Crystal, we don't really have Crystal Dynamics that... Is Crystal Dynamics doing this game? Because they might not be. Because they've got the Marvel game they're working on, right?
Yeah, and...
So this Tomb Raider game may be coming from elsewhere.
Tomb Raider was highly featured in the trailer today for Ready Player One several times.
Oh, actually, I'm reading that Eidos Montreal is apparently making this new game. That's already
known.
Isn't
that is that the studio that does Hitman? I don't remember.
Yeah.
One of them does that.
So it could be interesting because it could be a very different type of Tomb Raider game, too. So, anyway.
You mean she won't die horribly all these times?
She'll be fluent in French and English. All right. Anyway. Moving on. Darksakura. Considering we're in fucking December, it was actually a very busy gaming news week. Mobile games, no exception, right, Jamie?
Indeed. Niantic is bringing out the third generation of a Pokemon. And this time they're going to be affected by weather. So it will, I guess, work in conjunction with local weather so that you'll get certain Pokemon that are available like in the rain or the snow or bright sunshine. Or we're going to get a lot of fucking desert types or something.
No, it's fire, grass, and earth types.
It's already been brought in. They launched it on Friday. If you bring up your game, you can actually see it right now. I don't know what the weather is. I just caught a Wurmple on the house. So
it was
some
sunny.
Of the Gen 3 stuff's here.
It was sunny today.
I hadn't seen any of them today, but then again, I had to get a new SIM card. I just upgraded my phone. I got an iPhone 10.
I have seen it switch from sunny to cloudy. Right now it's night. Oh.
There's
the CDOTS evolution. Yeah, Nuzleaf on the house right now. So guys, everybody has their phone trying to catch the Nuzleaf.
He's an ugly little fuck.
Yeah, but that's a lot of candy
because
I think you need like 100 to evolve Nuzleaf into the third form there. So I love it. Everybody brought up Pokemon Go here in studio and everybody's catching the fucking Nuzleaf on the house right now.
It's so interesting that they did put the details of nipples on the Nuzleaf as well.
Yeah, well, it's like Mario.
That was necessary.
It's like Mario.
It's Nipleaf.
Anyway.
Oh my God. It does have nips.
It's a wonder.
Where?
If you appraise it, it's the highest appraisal.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Maybe that's just for you.
No. Oh, if you have to be at least level 30 to get the same, I think, Pokemon.
29.
Dope. Yeah, mine appraised at the highest level.
27.
Dope.
I almost said in a row, but that was 37.
All right, anyway. Yeah, JD points out that it makes certain types of moves more powerful. Yeah, and the raids. It affects the raids. So usually when you catch a Pokemon at a raid, I think you catch it at level 30, ? But now you can catch it up to like level 35. No, I think you catch a Pokemon level 20 from a raid. But the weather bonuses add 5 levels. So like you can catch Ho-Ho is what I call him. I think he's Ho-Oh, but I call him a Ho-Ho because it's
Christmas. Well, you know where that name comes from.
No, I don't.
It's a word for Phoenix.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, especially considering the design. But it's Christmas, so I call him Ho-Ho. So I did catch a Ho-Ho, but apparently people are catching Ho-Hos that, like, the CP is through the roof because they're 5 levels higher during the right kind of weather. So, E3.
Well, he's impressive, at least.
E3VL, or Evil, in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com says, I quit because of that. I could take out gyms on my own and not raid battles. No Discord around me. Have to travel 15 miles. Not worth it, in my opinion. Yeah, that's a bummer. The more rural folks have a real problem trying to do, like, you know, trying to get... Right now, Absol from Gen 3 is like a 4-star raid. Evil's not going to be able to do that himself unless he can get a party of like 7 people. And that's led to people wanting to multi-account and do all that stuff so they, you know, so they can enjoy the whole game. And that's kind of... Niantic needs to think about maybe flexing how strong, like at least make it so you can capture a weak one by yourself and then maybe have to just go through the process of leveling it up or something. I wish Niantic would revisit that somehow. So, anyhow.
I wish we could grind up one Pokemon for candy for another Pokemon.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be. Or at least, like, reduced.
Did you want to mention the other piece on the weather, too, Jamie?
Well, yeah. Well, I did mention that the weather affects what you can catch and how it catches.
Right.
And that, it, you know, like you brought up, it will bring up different advantages. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing that actually kind of strikes me weird about this is, what if you live somewhere it doesn't snow? And you can't get, like, whatever is only going to come out only in that weather.
My understanding is there are not going to be Pokemon that is limited to weather. So, like, there's nothing that will only spawn in snow. But you're only going to be able to get stronger, higher levels in snow. It's kind of like you'll have to
power them up. And they will give you extra Stardust.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do get those penalties, but it sounds like not living in a snowy area is not going to be the end of the world for us.
Looking at the map, too, the map will reflect the weather around you.
But they're saying, though, that one of the disadvantages, though, of this new system is that if they think that there's, you know, extreme weather outside, they will actually reduce the amount of spawns that are have. Like, you know, there was a screenshot I saw where someone had one for snow. They said it's extreme weather, you know, be careful going outside. And it's like there's a couple inches on the ground and that's it.
Well, it sounds like those extreme weather alerts in Pokemon Go are probably triggered by actual, you know, warnings from the National Weather Service. And sometimes they put out warnings that aren't that serious.
Not to sound insensitive, but man, those fire types in LA are going to be really strong.
That sounds a little insensitive.
Okay.
But they're getting hit with the extreme weather thing too in LA. Yeah. Even if you're nowhere near those fires, you know, you're getting hit with that right now. But my understanding is it doesn't super affect the spawn rate that bad, but you're not going to get any weather bonuses in extreme conditions. I think it feels like this might be a response in some ways to, remember when people were like playing Pokemon Go in the hurricanes, or at least joking about it? Like, you know, if there's a motherfucking hurricane coming to town, put Pokemon Go down.
I just,
number one, I'm going to go ahead and spell this out for people who have never been in a fucking hurricane.
It sucks.
No. A Cat 1 isn't that bad. Okay, it's just a blustery wind storm with some rain.
Yeah. We've had storms here that were like a Cat 1. We really
right.
have.
Right. So that, it's that not a fucking winter. Big deal.
Yeah.
If you live on the outskirts and you get the Cat 1 level winds, that's not a big deal. Okay. I've been in a hurricane that did nothing but dump water on us for 3 days. Cycling out the bay, and I walked to the fucking Circle K every night because we didn't have electricity.
Right.
Not that bad.
But
when you are getting Cat 3 and higher, that's when people need to stop being stupid. Although I do know people who surf in hurricanes.
Yeah. And like those poor folks in Puerto Rico and the Cat 5 they got. Right. That's no fucking joke.
No, that's no joke at all. But I think that, you know, if it's when the storm is approaching, I'm really not that concerned about it. Mm-hmm. If you have your plan in place to get out, you've got your generator. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get to Cat 3 level and higher, that's when you GTFO or buckle down and have a generator. Mm-hmm. And don't do anything freaking stupid. P.S. Pokemon will spawn in your house.
Hopefully. Unless you live in a really rural area. Like, do Pokemon spawn in your house? Because it might not. So, anyway. Pardon me. Anyhow, let's move on. So that's Pokemon Go. But the news keeps coming this week, right, Logie?
Yeah, exactly. So they were talking during the whole Mega Man 30th anniversary thing. They were talking about all sorts of announcements, one of which is that all 8 Mega Man X games are coming to current-gen platforms. So PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and even the Switch in the summer of 2018. Along with that, because the Switch did not receive the Mega Man Legacy Collections, they'll be getting Legacy Collections 1 and 2, which include Mega Man 1 through 10, and that'll be coming during 2018 as well. One of the surprise announcements, well, maybe not a surprise if you did end up playing some of those Legacy collections and saw the leaked artwork that was in there, but Mega Man 11 was announced, and Mega Man 11 looks pretty amazing. It actually, the art style of it reminds me a lot of Mighty No. 9. It's like taking all, you know, what people really wanted. They wanted a modern Mega Man done like an old Mega Man game with nicer graphics. Boom, there it is. And so I'm kind of surprised.
So here's the first question that came to mind when I saw that. And I got to admit, like, I saw that and I was like, yes. Right? Another week of yes. I was looking at that and very, very into it. And I think, yeah, this is the Mega Man game that people have been asking for. It's like, just make a really fucking good 2D Mega Man. That's all we want, right? Here's my question, though. Do we have Mighty No. 9 to thank for Mega Man 11?
Maybe.
What do you guys think in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com? Do we have Mighty No. 9 to thank for Mega Man 11? And what I mean by that is you can take that a variety of ways, because maybe the success of the Kickstarter and that people really wanted it. Or you could look at maybe the negative side of it where, and then when it came out, it got a really lukewarm reception and people weren't that into it. So maybe Capcom kind of felt they had to come in and say, all right, y'all, let me show you how it's done, even though... Inafune made Mega Man and then Mighty.
But then
anyway,
he also made Mighty No. 9.
But
so,
that whole complication aside, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, ActDef says, I think it did. Mega Man 11 looks a lot like Mighty No. 9. Dungeon Buster says, I think Capcom may have been waiting in the anniversary. This month was the perfect moment. Dr. Tsuya says, a fair point. I mean, he went and made it since Capcom apparently couldn't be bothered, and now Capcom saw that people were actually interested. JD says, it's impossible to say without inside Capcom information. SG100 Matt says, Mega Man 11 kicked Mighty No. 9 when it was already down. So
it looked really good, and they showed off one of the powers, which I'm not sure what that would have been, but you drop blocks, basically. Almost looks like...
And then didn't it come out that, like... They had actually dropped a hint in the second Mega Man collection.
Yeah, there was the character that they showed.
Yeah, there was artwork in Mega Man 8 or something, and everybody looked at it going, that's not in Mega Man. What is that? And I think most people wrote it off as, oh, maybe it was like a concept that didn't see the light of day. Like, they didn't actually go through with this particular thing. And then come to find out, oh, they punked you. They teased you with a Mega Man 11 monster several months ago when that game came out. So that's kind of neat.
But yeah, it looks really good, so I'm very excited to play it whenever it comes out. And I think that's supposed to be, I want to say, next year? Late next year.
Yeah, so they teased it with a lot of time to go, so maybe they only had that one stage done. Who knows? But we still got a year to go on this.
That's fine. It looks good so far.
Yeah, I think people are going to be happy that Mega Man, like, it's happening.
Just don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Because my number 9.
Good luck, and don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Something else, too. They also announced another collection, right, Logie?
No, we already talked about that.
Oh, did we? I must have missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, the Mega Man X games, those are going to be coming out in summer of next year.
But this time with Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
Yay.
And also just to mention that Mega Man 11 will be out on the Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and PC as well.
And then the other Mega Man Legacy collections, they said they will put those out on Switch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Were those out on PC as well? I don't remember.
The second one was. I think the first one was.
I know I bought I think I bought one of them or both of them on PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Huh.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase WARM.
Anyhow, you know, something that's been in the news a lot lately is Bitcoin, which is something I'm not trying to be a hater. I just don't think I understand Bitcoin. And I remember a couple years ago when Dogecoin was a thing, somebody kind of taught me how to set that up and do the mining on my computer. But I have to admit, I still don't know to this day what the fuck I was doing.
I'm pretty sure I have some Bitcoin still in my wallet.
Well, you should look into that, because have you heard about how much that value has gone up?
That it's appreciated like by a lot. I think I had like 25 Bitcoin at the time.
Girl, like one Bitcoin is worth like $10,000 right now.
Fuck me, I'm gonna check that when
you
I get
need
home.
To look into your see if you because if you got if you're like ho hum, I just have 25 Bitcoin sitting around right now, bitch. You've got like a fucking like house fund right there if you can figure out a place to unload that Bitcoin.
Well, I mean, if I still had them because I got Bitcoin like a while back.
And you might be thinking you have 25 Bitcoin, but it turns out you have 0.0025 Bitcoin or something, because that is something that happens too. So,
well, it's just like I got it like 5 years ago just because I was going to try using Bitcoin, and then I never did anything with it.
Okay, so I think it would be very wise of you, like tonight after you leave this show, you need to fucking figure out how much Bitcoin you have. Right. And keep in mind when I say this right now, in this story that I'm looking at Engadget, one Bitcoin is worth $13,300 as of this writing. So if you're like, ho, 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 I have 25 Bitcoin just sitting around who knows where, you better fucking find it.
Well, I'll have to. I've got all the code written down for my wallet, so.
But just don't be disappointed if you go in there and it turns out, oh, I had 0.00025.
It's still something.
But still, yeah, still you might have like $20 in Bitcoin sitting there, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's see. So anyway, my point was one place you're not going to be able to spend that Bitcoin is on Steam. Valve has stopped accepting Bitcoin right now because of a combination of the transaction costs. Basically, in the beginning, it used to be 20 cents. Now it's like $20 for each transaction. And because of the high the volatility of what this cryptocurrency is going through, which I still fail to understand. Again, I'm not hating. I just don't understand. Where does the worth on a Bitcoin come from? Because isn't my understanding that a Bitcoin is basically like a crypto passage that does nothing?
It's just digital currency.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I don't get it. But I mean, again, I'm not hating. I don't understand it.
Look at it this way. It would be like I'll use Origin for an example. Origin has points, right? And the points, you pay a certain dollar amount to get a certain amount of points.
Okay.
If the points were being used, though, as a currency, they would appreciate and depreciate the way that normal currency does. So, in that light, it is a...
Okay, so that's actually not a bad...
It's paperless money.
That's not a bad way to explain it, actually. Actually kind of get it. Because you're right, if more places took those origin points... then they might go up or down based on, you know, how many people are on Origin, how many points are out there. Okay,
or
I guess
here's this one.
Yeah.
Some communities do like community dollars, mm-hmm. where, you know, say that you go out and do like some public service and you earn community money, and it's useful in that community. You can redeem it for services or a small good here, and it has a value attributed to it. It really is just, and honestly, I honestly would think that it would be great if all currency went digital, because first of all, the money that we have actually costs more to manufacture it than the individual amount's worth. And so if everyone went digital, and a lot of places now, a lot of countries have like those NFR readers, just about like, as far as I'm aware, like I'll use this as an example because I was just reading about it. Vending machines in Japan, almost all of them will use NFR readers. You know, my Apple Watch, I don't have to have my card anymore. I bought my wrist on whatever the terminal and I can pay for my money. If all of our currency went digital like Bitcoin, first of all, that would probably contribute to an increase in commerce and lowering, you know, whatever national deficit that goes into manufacture of money.
Yeah, and I actually, Jamie, I kind of get it, because like you can forge a $5 bill probably pretty easy. You can make a forgery of a $5 bill. Most people don't check $5 bills. They check 20s. They don't really check fives.
Yeah.
So you could probably forge a bunch of $5 bills and you would have essentially fake money out there. Now, real money has some type of special, they actually, a little bit of gold in it. They have something in it that gives it a little value, right?
Well, no.
The 20s do. The
metal strips are just basically like for authentication, basically.
Right.
And they'll have micro lettering and all kinds of, you know, lenticular tricks and everything. I mean, some of the money in other countries is like fucking holographic.
But you can't fucking forge a Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoins, every Bitcoin will have a digital signature on it. And on top of that, too, when you sign up for your wallet, you are given, because I, like I said, I got my wallet about 5 years ago. You don't have a password. You're given an arbitrary series of like 12 words that are your pass into your locker.
Yeah.
You lose that. You have lost what's in your locker.
Which you better not have lost your fucking locker.
No, I know where it is.
Okay, good girl.
You know, I kept that safe.
All I'm going to remember is that just remember your friend Rob Roberts when you're fucking filthy goddamn rich after cashing in all this Bitcoin.
We'll see. I already cashed some of my work stock.
All right.
That was really good.
Going to our chat. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, I can't slide digital currency in a Go-Go Boys G, though. Well, you could, right, if you had the actual keychain.
You know what?
Because that's why they have like QR codes on coins, right? That's Bitcoin.
But, you know, they also do make those little NFR readers for payments. Not like the Square, because the Square is a slider. But they have, like, the little ones like the Square where you tap it on. You could have that hooked up to a G.
Mm-hmm.
Just tap your wrist on it. Like, take my Apple Pay.
So you could actually tap that ass.
You could tap that ass.
You like that? Come on, Noel Gus. What would you rather do? Do you want to slide digital currency in the Go-Go Boys G, or do you want to tap that ass?
Or, you know, I bet that they would do like voucher conversions for stuff like that, you know?
They have a Bitcoin ATM at the mall that I've seen. I look at them like,
I see this one, I'm like, I don't get, what would I use that for? Like, I always feel so old. Like, I'm like, God, this is what my parents must have went through, like when I was talking about Nintendo and stuff. Like, I don't understand. Anyway. Let's see. SSGO 100 Matt says, she'll remember you, talking about Jamie, she'll remember you, Rob, when she puts you in charge of her personal Pinkberry franchise location. Oh, goody.
You know, I haven't had Pinkberry in like a year and a half.
I haven't had it in a long time either because my husband prefers Yogurtland, and sometimes you give up the things you like for your significant other.
They have pecan pie flavored right now.
That doesn't sound bad.
We're going.
We're going to go to Pinkberry?
Well, we'll be done. We won't be done with the show in time. All right.
Probably not tonight.
Next Saturday. We're going to Pinkberry.
Actually, we have company from out of town here who might be into that, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're coming too then.
All right.
Even if they're not, they're coming.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's see. And by the way, just also since the story was about Steam and Bitcoin, I did just want to point out Valve is not ruling out a return to Bitcoin in the future, but not until the volatility of Bitcoin settles down. By the way, as some of you nerds probably know, there's not just Bitcoin out there. There's other digital currency, right? Like Ethereum is another one. I remember Dogecoin. Is that worth anything now? Because I might have Dogecoin. And then what's the other one? My friend was telling me this, that he bought this. Litecoin is another one. So,
and Ethereum is another one now?
Yeah, which I just said.
Oh, sorry. Not paying
I'm checking.
We're tied now.
The Dogecoin price for today is $0.0025.
Oh,
fabulous. So it's a quarter of a penny.
I don't even think I have like one Dogecoin, so that's great. I'm glad I did all that mining for Dogecoin. All right. Let's move on with some more news. Dark Sakura.
Well, we like Portal. We like Portal a lot, and Portal is going to be in a collaboration for Bridge Constructor. So Clockstone Software and Valve are putting it together to build bridges with portals. And so it looks interesting, but it looks very silly. And it has like the little people figures like they have in the portal ads. You know, like this is how you get from point A to point B. And there's turrets and everything. It's adorable. It has a Dora bubble. But you have to get the Aperture truck across the bridge.
And what do you build this out of? Ethereum?
Portals.
Oh.
You can run over turrets with your truck. That's amazing.
Is this something you might check out? Because it's half Portal, which is something you're like super into, I know.
Oh, it's GLaDOS. This is so cute. I just want a new Portal.
You just want a new Portal game? You want Portal 3?
I want Portal 3. Valve doesn't know how to count.
How many Bitcoins are going to fucking take for Valve to give us Portal? Anything with a 3 in it, pretty much at this point. I really mean anything? Is there any Valve franchise?
Valve doesn't believe in threesomes, Rob.
Apparently.
Which is lame.
All right,
I agree.
Just a few more stories before we get to the classic system of the month. You guys, it's the last classic system. It's December 2017. We're going to get to that in just a couple more stories.
It is.
Loki.
All right. So this is odd, but apparently Nintendo is teaming up with NVIDIA to release Wii games on the NVIDIA Shield in China, though. So they're going to have a number of older Nintendo games like New Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Galaxy, and Twilight Princess made for the NVIDIA Shield. That's interesting. And I don't know how that's going to work, but, I mean, does the Shield have, like, wireless? Does it have, like, motion controls or something? I mean, how the hell does that work? Do you have to have a, like, Wii remote for that? I mean, I guess it's Bluetooth, so you could.
Well, a lot of the games I was noticing, too, things like New Super Mario Brothers, Wii and stuff, you know, those aren't games that really require motion control either.
True. I guess that makes sense. But Mario Galaxy does, though.
No, I guess that's true. Yeah, it does.
So
maybe something with the touch screen on those things, because maybe you can tap the touch screen. I bet it would work something
maybe.
Like that. Yeah.
I'm wondering though, because I want to. Doesn't that run on Android? I mean, I can't see how this isn't going to leak out.
That's my question too. That was the first thing. So I was like, okay, it's coming out in China, and you know, China has a lot of people, but not a lot of the same games that we have here. So I'm sure these companies are seeing this as, oh, potential huge market expansion with things that are not going to cost us anything, especially Wii games. Those games, for the most part, they're done here in the U.S. Like, you're never going to sell Wii games and really make money off them unless maybe Virtual Console. But that whole question mark, what is
the
Switch
doing
with that
aside? Wii games on the Switch?
Not yet.
Because the Switch is it's basically an NVIDIA Shield, so...
Yeah, so I don't know.
I would think that...
Who knows?
That should be very doable at this point.
That was my thought, is that the NVIDIA Shield is kind of a PC-based thing, right? So what's to prevent these games from leaking out over here?
It's a Tegra-based system, just like the Switch.
Okay, but at the end of the day, then... You know, maybe Nintendo's going, it doesn't matter. If the Wii games leak out in the U.S., we've made our money off those games already. This is just more money. This is money for nothing. It's Bitcoin.
I mean, it's a good idea because they've never had really consoles in China. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, this is going to be a new thing for the people that live there. But is it really? I mean, I don't know.
Really
worth the check out, though.
Hey, Alan. Alan just got home. Alan, come here. I'm going to totally derail the show, but I have to show this. So Jamie got us holiday presents. This is an outfit for Mr. Smush, and look at this. This is a crinkle cat tunnel, and you know he's going to love the shit out of this.
Fantastic. I love it.
There you go.
But did you show him the...
Oh, yeah, and then this is for us. It's a mermaid tail with the sequins that change colors.
That is also incredible.
Does this girl know us or what? I love
and
it.
I got you unicorn heads.
Yes, and there's more stuff in here. Peek around in here. There's candles and things in here. And candy. So there you go. But unfortunately, chat room, there's no Ethereum in the bag. But there's always 2018.
Because Ethereum is made of the ether.
All right. I got one more story for you guys. Then we'll get to the classic stuff. This one is about Facebook. Yes, that's right. I'm going to do a story about Facebook. Who remembers that Facebook actually has games built into Messenger? Because I
mean, there's things I blocked.
Oh, God. Yeah. My wife tried to play those.
Like. I'm not even talking about like fucking Farmville and that shit. I'm talking about like you can actually do in a Messenger. Like what I could do.
Nope. You better not message
me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up Messenger right now. So I'm going to go into Messenger live here on air. And I'm going to start a new conversation with Jamie. And I'm going to hit the button there. And then I'm going to hit this little button. What is it? I hit the plus sign, and there's games. And all these games come up. Okay, played recently. Pac-Man, play. And then it's actually loading Pac-Man onto my phone. And then Jamie's going to get a message that I'm forcing her to play Pac-Man. Yes, challenge Jamie. Play now. So there you go. And now it's loading, and I can actually play Pac-Man. So that's
I don't see anything yet.
That's actually all built into Messenger. So, and my ringer's off anyway, so you're not going to be able to hear anything. But basically, once I were to get a score in this, I think you would see it, and then you can, like, try to challenge my score and beat it or whatever.
Oh, I found Words with Friends, but I don't have anything from you yet.
Well, because I turned the game off because I'm trying to do a radio show. But anyway, there's other games in this Messenger thing, too. Something called Everwing. I don't even know what half these games are, but there's, you know, little Facebook games. But my point is... apparently something that Facebook is going to be doing to celebrate 1 year of games on Messenger is to actually, you can tap a camera icon in the upper right-hand corner of the game screen and stream on Facebook Live. So I could actually stream myself going, this is me kicking Jamie's ass at Pac-Man live on Facebook, because Facebook desperately wants a piece of that Twitch profit and Mixer and all that stuff. Facebook really badly wants to be a contender in this. I personally think Facebook should stay the hell out of it, not just because they're Facebook, but because I think the audience on, like, all the people on my Facebook don't really want to see me playing video games. Like, the audience that's on my Twitch is a very specific curated network that wants to be there. I think Facebook should stick to maybe live streaming.
Oh my God, it has Battleship.
And you suck my Battleship. And so forth. So anyway, so you can stream that on Facebook Live, and it is available, I guess, starting today. But then later in 2018, you can play games with friends from within a video chat in real time, so you can see people's reactions. So one of the first games that's going to get this is Words with Friends, so Jamie can actually see my reaction when she, or maybe when it gets Battleship, she can actually see my reaction live when she sinks my Battleship.
There's a game on here called Mr. The fuck? These games are so stupid.
Or
Nomcat.
When we're playing Words with Friends, Jamie can see my reaction when I get really angry, going, what do you mean cunt isn't an acceptable word?
Bust a Move is on here.
All right.
Fucking A.
Let's go to classic times when, you know what? We didn't have these messenger systems in our pockets. We had beepers. Actually, I never had a beeper. Because as my mom said, Rob, only drug dealers have beepers, Rob. If you have a beeper, you're a drug dealer. Dad has a beeper. Dad needs a beeper for work.
He always works selling drugs.
It was no, my dad worked for the railroad. Don't make fun of my dad. All right. It's a classic game of the week.
Oh my God, there's busting me.
But once a month, Dark Sakura puts Facebook down and she steps into the gaming
the
vault.
Fuck
she
I
says,
will.
She says, hey, here's a classic system for you to enjoy. Why celebrate the game when you can celebrate the whole damn system? She's been doing this every month in 2017. And guess what, guys? Tonight is the last one. It is
the segment gets retired after tonight.
The end of our classic system of the month.
So I picked a stinker. Series.
So here it is. What is the classic system of the month?
The Fairchild Channel F. Blip, blip, blip.
Wow, that riveting soundtrack.
The Fairchild Channel F was created by Fairchild Semiconductor in 1976. It sold for $169.95, which, Rob, find one of those little, like, money converter things.
Which was
like
50
money.
Bitcoin back in 1976.
No. You find one of the converters for me. $169.95.
Okay.
It sold 250,000 units by 1977. It was originally just called the Video Entertainment System, or VES, but then Atari released the VCS the next year, so
Pac-Man
they changed the name
game.
Of the system.
Really, truly a
the Channel F, the it was actually one of the...
Oh, what? I was like, what is this talking? You sent a video that has some guy going...
I just... Looked for. I
I'm
going to
talk about
very
the
much
Fairchild.
Well, yeah, whatever. Da, da, da. It's fucking blip blip.
All right, blip blip. There it is. All right.
Okay, but anyway, a couple of the big signifiers of the Fairchild Channel F. It was the first programmable ROM cartridge based video game console, and it was the first one that used a microprocessor. So really, the Fairchild Channel F is. Our big, like, granddaddy to what we've got today. The graphics, I mean, they're fairly basic. It was the 70s, you know, when Pong was the thing at the time. The resolution is 128 by 64. 64 bytes of RAM, which is half of what the Atari 2600 had. But it had enough AI compatibility or AI, what's the word I'm thinking of? Capability, so that you could play versus the machine. And it was also another first. So this really did, I'd say, pave the way for a lot of what we have today. It also had a hold button, which would let you pause your game. You could also change the time or change the speed of your game. In the first iterations of the Fairchild Channel F, it had an internal speaker, but the System 2 put that out through an RF modulator so that your TV would play it. Now, the controllers, I'll tell you this, they're kind of shite. They're different because, I mean, back then, I mean, people hadn't really locked down to any particular controller style. There were these sticks that had a little analog pad on the, well, not analog, but it was an 8-way directional control. And it could be used as a paddle to twist it, or it could be used as a joystick. And it could be pushed in as a fire button. So it was really very versatile. It just wasn't very great. And they also had another controller that was... Well, first of all, the first version, they were hardwired. And the System 2, they were detachable. A company called Zircon offered another one that had an action button on the front of the joystick. And it was called the Channel F Jet Stick. It came out in 1982. And even though the Channel F wasn't all that great, people did really like the joystick. It was really novel. I personally did not care for it myself. There were a lot of video carts that came out. That's what they called their cartridges. Some of them could do more than one game, and they were roughly $20 a pop. Each of them was the size, actually kind of about the size and shape of an 8-track cartridge, which none of y'all know what that is, unless you're us.
Or you've been to like a garage sale flea market.
You know, I had a collection of 8-tracks when I was a kid.
My grandma had an ABBA 8-track. She's awesome. Anyway, I want to answer an earlier question real quick.
Okay.
$169 in 1976, worth $727.04 today.
So yeah, that's expensive.
And because I know the chatters are going to ask, that's about 1.5 Ethereum at current rate.
Whatever. Anyway, as of 1978, there were 3 keyboard video carts for sale. There was K1 Casino Poker, K2 Space Odyssey, and K3 Pro Football. And they were supposed to use the keyboard peripheral that was supposed to come out with it. But yeah, all the video carts like were numbered. And like the very last one that came out in December 1981 was called Alien Invasion. The very first one, September 1977, was just the demo cart. So, you know, there was like a pinball game and Hangman and Video Whiz Ball, which just makes me laugh. Whiz Ball. But the keyboard ones were never released. There was a German company that released a few compatible cartridges as well. But for the most part, the Channel F was pretty much, in general, a commercial failure. You know, trying to compete with, you know, by 1982, when Atari had so many other games out, and then there was also the Intellivision, the Astrocade, the Odyssey, you know, the Channel F was just below average, according to its rating. You know, it didn't really have a whole lot of interest in it. And so in 1983, Zircon discontinued the Fairchild Channel F, and it was basically what no one wanted. It was... So, a little bit of the specs for it. A Fairchild 8-bit processor, a 1.79 megahertz NTSC processor, 2 kilobytes of RAM with 64 bytes for its scratchpad memory, 128 by 64 pixels monitor, 60 hertz refresh rate, 8 colors, 8x8 or 4x5 variable sprite size. And that's it. The Fairchild Channel F.
There it is. Your classic system of the month. I say that with a question mark because the system doesn't sound that classic. But notable, if nothing else. So.
It led to having... It was the first to use cartridges.
That's true.
It was the first with a microprocessor.
That's true.
So it had
the
a
The creator
strong...
of this passed away in the past year or two, I believe. Because I remember... seeing a story about it and that we had him to thank for the cartridge-based gaming and all that.
Yeah, so. His name was, Jerry Lawson.
Jerry Lawson, yeah.
Yeah. So, And, you know, again, not the greatest one, but would we have had what we had, you know, at the time? And on top of this, too, you know, just to point out, he was a African-American gentleman doing computer programming in an age where...
You didn't hear about a lot of African-American men doing programming.
And so...
Just like there weren't a lot of women doing programming either, which is why it's great that the Game Awards recognized Carol Shaw, by the way. I just had to make sure that got thrown
out
there.
Oh, that was women who put man on the moon.
That's true.
True enough. But yeah, he passed away April 9th, 2011.
Oh, that was a longer time ago than I thought. I thought that was more recent, but okay.
Yeah, but, you know, we have him to thank for what we have today.
All right.
Know your history, folks.
There it is, the classic system of the month, and that brings the classic system series to a close. How do you feel, looking back, Dark Sakura, how do you feel about the classic system of the month? Did you like that as a 2017 twist?
It was fun.
What did the listeners think?
I came up with it to be different.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't have to think of a, you know, at least 12 games.
You have to be bitingly different. By the way, let's just recap, just so y'all remember. So let's take a trip down memory lane of our trips down memory lane. Oops. It's actually not that music.
What is now?
Our trip down memory lane. In January, we had the FM Towns Marty. February was the PCFX. March was the Wonder Swan. April was the MSX. May was the TI-99-4A. June was the Magnavox Odyssey 2. July was the ZX Spectrum or the ZX. August was the N-Gage. September, although I think we technically did that in October, but it was September, was the Panasonic Q. Actual October was the Pippin. November was the X86000. And we closed it out for December with the Fairchild Channel F. So there it is, your 2017 twist of the classic system of the month.
You know, the very first video game system I ever personally owned was a TI-99.
Mine was a Commodore 64, I'm pretty sure. So
we had a Coleco Atom as well. But the TI-99 was the first one. The second one that we owned, when I was a kid, I never owned an Atari system.
Yeah.
We had a ColecoVision, and that thing fucking rocked. I love a ColecoVision.
Now, we are going to take a quick break, but...
X68000.
Did I screw up and say something wrong?
No, but apparently Dark Tetsuo thinks that you did.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. Anyway, before we go to a break, we are going to go to a break here, but do we want to tell the listeners what they have to look forward to in 2018?
Sure.
Because the twists don't stop, y'all.
I'm a twisty bitch.
All right, so the classic game of the week will still be here, but once a month, what's going to happen?
We'll have the peripheral of the month where... You don't know what it could be. It could be I'm trying to think of weird ones now. An activator.
Mm-hmm.
It could be para para biscuits.
All I have to say is it better be the fucking power glove at some point.
It's so bad. It could be rod caliber.
There you go. So next year you have the classic peripheral of the month.
That one will be a little bit easier to extend into another year or two.
There's been plenty of them. Especially when
there's been a lot of shit.
Dance pads and all this. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that comes out and then it kind of goes nowhere.
Maybe I'll just do a family of them or something. But, you know, I tell you one that's going to have to be on there, and I'll go ahead and announce it because it's one of my favorite ones and I wish I owned
it. Don't
them.
Spoil. All right,
no,
spoil a little.
Unless someone wants to, you know, cause so that someone can find me one.
Oh, I see. For research purposes.
I want Saturn Twin Sticks.
Okay.
For Virtual On. We've got the Dreamcast ones.
Well, I want 25 Bitcoin. Do you know where I can find that?
Bitch.
All right.
Maybe the trance vibrator will show up.
We're going to take a break, you guys, but we'll be back after a quick music break. There is more of Orange Lounge Radio to come, so don't go anywhere. We've got quite a bit of mailbag tonight, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. When we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio, don't go anywhere. Whoa! Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, December the 10th of 2017, with our 710th episode already in progress as we inch closer and closer to the end of the year. During the break there, Dark Sakura tapping away at her Animal Crossing pocket camp, because I know she's a huge fan.
I'm close to level 42.
My gosh, I can't. That's great, but, you know, I'm just like, dang, that must take a lot of effort. How long?
No, it's being really bored.
Do you just kind of sit there and tap away at it when you're like...
Supposed to be doing stuff.
Supposed to be watching TV or something. But
I don't watch TV.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Is that you don't really?
Dan and I'll like do YouTube stuff. We'll watch it.
Okay.
And I'll have it on like while I'm watching stuff on the internet or talking with Becky or something. Because
there you go.
Yeah, we chatter regularly because we're besties.
Of course, that's what happens.
You know, I'll play during my break at work.
Yeah.
So
good deal.
During my break.
I know it's a little early to talk about New Year's resolutions, and some people kind of feel on the whole thing anyway, but is there anything maybe in 2018 that you're going to like try to accomplish or something you're trying to do in 2018?
No.
No?
I don't make the resolutions anymore. I more do right around, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is meant to be spent in introspection, deciding what worked for you in the year and what didn't, and how to move forward, having things that you apologize for in the year or things that you regret doing, you can say that you apologize or that you regret them, but it doesn't make any fucking difference if you don't make an effort to not do those things anymore.
Right.
And that's more what I'm looking at. Besides that, I've got other things that are happening that I think as far as I know I'm getting way too deep into this, but
it's fine.
But resolutions to me,
I didn't mean for it to be a deep question, but it's okay if it is. That's fine.
Well, no, I was just thinking about it because it really just, it's been something that's been on my mind.
Yeah.
And I think that the big thing that I really want to do is just be, I don't want to say this is bad, let's change it. I want to be the best version of myself I can be.
Right. I guess the way I'm kind of looking at it, obviously with your Jewish faith being important to you, and that totally makes sense that this more like Jewish New Year is a very kind of different sort of tradition. For me, I don't necessarily have that same thing, but you know that 2017 for me, and I think everybody out there knows, this has been a horrible year for me. I mean, you guys all know. And I was just thinking back today, just not only with the whole fact that, that I lost my mom over the summer, but really how long that went on. That wasn't just like suddenly one day, in July she was gone, but it was just like months and months leading up to that with her being in the ICU and everything, right? Not to be a downer right now, but that's just the reality of, so I'm kind of looking back at 2017, it was all that. And then, everything that happened with Sanrio and all the other stuff. So I'm really trying to look at it as like, okay, yes, it's just another year, but at the same time, it's like something about like tearing down that calendar and putting the new one up is very much like, okay, this year is going to be less suck than 2017, or at least I really hope so. I mean, there's going to be things that probably happen that I'm not able to control, but like, what can I do? And, for me, I definitely want to keep doing OLR. I think that's something we all kind of want to keep doing in 2018. I really want to pick up, I feel like with the streaming thing, I had a lot of great steam going on, like my Twitch thing. And I was getting really good at that.
Especially if you're using Steam.
And then, we're playing Steam games on Twitch. And then, I think over the summer, I really picked that up and I got the affiliate. And then, when my mom passed, it's like a lot of that hit a brick road and I was kind of like picking it up again. And then it's like that train kept derailing. And it's like, I think that's something that I want to do more of. And I know I can do a good job, but I'm really going to have to, I think it's something I'm going to challenge myself to do in 2018 is really kind of think out in advance, the way I know more other live streamers do it, what am I going to stream, why, and when, and really try to tack that down as opposed to, it's a random Friday night and I'm bored, I'm going to play Final Fantasy 14 on my stream. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do definitely want to try to, and I also don't want to say hold myself accountable, because that makes myself, I don't know, that makes it sound like
it's a job and not fun.
Exactly, it's a job and not fun, but I want to kind of maybe try to hold myself to a better schedule, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have something that I wanted to propose to you offline, but I know that, oh my God, this bunny has an inflatable nozzle in the back of its head. and it's something that we talked about before was, doing different and new things in the realm of podcasting.
Right.
So, well, we can talk about that more offline. Yeah, I just hit 42, by the way.
I really, truly think it's just a matter of time before I'm doing another podcast for sure. unfortunately, you guys all know Pokestop Podcast. That ain't coming back. Although I do, one show that I've been working more with, and again, with everything that's happened this year, I wanted to do more with those guys over at Pokemon Go Podcast, but I just, you know, with everything that's happened, I haven't been able to. So I'm hoping to really, you know, reestablish and you know, contribute for that more with Pokestop Podcast being gone. I've been talking to Xfer about guys on a show. I just don't know if it's going to be in the cards for that to come back, but I'm hoping it's one of those things where it's like Arrested Development dropped another season on you all these years later. I'm really hoping that's something that can happen, but, you know, we'll see. But otherwise, maybe something new in 2018. So we'll see. Reading is Fundamental will be back. I know that, but that's not my show. That's John's show, and I'm just a host on it. So, you know, it's a little different. A little different.
Well, we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. Well, I mean, I'm going to leave you out of the conversation, but anything you like, and going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Come on, Nolga says, I still have games that I bought during last year's Black Friday that I haven't played. You know, a lot of people say, oh, this is the year I'm going to really dig into my backlog and actually play more games. What are you thinking about gaming-wise right now, Loki?
Well, I have a backlog, that's for sure, of games I need to play. I mean, even as most recent, South Park, the Fractured Butthole. Uh-huh. I haven't touched it yet. Bought it. It's installed. Haven't played it yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Gaming-wise, I would like to work on my game some more. At some point, I don't know what I want to start. I mean, because I was working on one thing, and I just kind of got bored with it. Like, I need to find something that I can just finish quickly that doesn't get, like, ridiculously involved. Because I think once I finish some games, it'll be easier to stick with it longer. It's just, right now, I overscope everything, and it just gets ridiculous. And then I hit a wall with, like, oh, I can't figure one thing out, and then I end up quitting. Like, that happened with, like, I was designing a Lego thing, and I needed to design, because it's based off a real thing. And so these tables are cubicles or desks or whatever that are in there are triangular. They're like shaped like three boomerangs set next to each other. You can't fucking make that in Legos at the scale that I was doing. And I spent weeks on that trying to solve that problem. And I couldn't get past it. And then it just is time wasted. And that's kind of like where I run into with like these games and stuff. It's like I've hit a wall with something that I can't do or something I can't figure out. And I waste tons of time on it, and I get burnt out on it. And it's just because I'm not making any progress.
You have to probably commit to smaller projects.
I want to. But small projects are boring as well. But I need to.
But at least you'll finish one.
I understand that. But I don't know. I have to figure out what I want to do. So it's just more of that. Then I have to diet. So,
oh, yeah, don't get me started on that.
So I do need to do that, and I want to get back in the DDR. In fact, actually, I won an auction today. I could kick myself. There was some DDR pad stuff that was around here that was really cheap, and I let it like got bid on, and I forgot the bid on it and stuff, and I could have won that. But no, I have a set of arcade plates at home. The actual like polycarbonate like actual aero panels. So I have one set of those and I wanted two, so I bought another set. They don't match, and the other set's not the, you know, 2 and 2, it's like 3 and 1, but whatever. As long as it works. So now I have those. I have parts to build new pads, but I have to design those from scratch as well, because it's gonna be a completely new design. So we'll see if I get around to that ever. To clean the garage first.
Bobby Blackwolf with a witty little commentary here in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, finishing games is boring. Starting them is fun. That's why most people never finish their games and why most Kickstarters fail. That's why me doing the show is fun. Me editing the show and posting it is boring. Bobby, you know my philosophy is that's why I don't edit. And some other podcasters like to roast for this whole thing, but I don't want to be. I'm gonna. Because at the same time, I also got roasted by podcasters not that long ago about why aren't you on Patreon? And
I don't want to have to deliver on all the stupid things.
Did you hear about the Patreon controversy this week?
Oh, what happened?
They changed the pricing.
They changed their pricing structure. Has people up in arms. So, but anyway, I don't want to repeat that whole thing. But anyway, just sometimes I just got to march to the beat of my own drum. And I don't, if you want to do Patreon, that is fucking rad. You do what works for you. I support that. That's awesome. You know, but I'm going to do me.
You know what, though? I don't think I would be opposed to doing like a donation thing.
I take the biddies on Twitch. So, and that's cool, you know, especially, but I do, but yet it does bring those feelings of guilt when it's like, Rob, you haven't streamed in like 2 weeks, but it's like, I just, if I keep putting myself out there like that, I'm going to go fucking nuts, you know? So sometimes I just can't do it. So.
I would still, I'm going to put the call out right now, because I've wanted to do this for a little while and I didn't have enough material. If anybody out there has pictures from being with us, or pictures of you guys.
When have we ever been out there in public?
Hardly ever.
Well, it was once in a great while.
You'd I've met some of the listeners in Alabama.
Sack Indie Arcade.
You know,
okay, Dragon Con. You're right. I see people at Dragon Con. I get
so,
pictures,
yeah. Or any just pictures of yourself that you want to, you know, add in a little bit of something to contribute to it. I'm still planning to put together a kind of an art book and history book. So if anyone has anything they want to contribute to it, send it to the mailbag.
Okay. That picture of me in New York like over 10 years ago at this point.
I have one of you and me when I still had like that kind of hot fuchsia red hair.
And I was probably thin and had all my hair, huh?
No comment.
Yes, it's fine.
You were a little more ginger.
I was a little more ginger. Let's see. Over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, there's an Animal Crossing animal that calls me Biddy. I think of Rob every time. Oh, there you go. All right. We got more video game stuff to get into. Rapid fire news. Loki.
Yeah, so it's that time of year where we can announce more delays. That's right, some games that you're looking forward to in the first half of next year, well, they're going to be a little later. So all of these happen to be from Ubisoft. Starting off, Far Cry 5, which was scheduled originally for February, it's now coming out March 27, 2018. The Crew 2 is going to be out later next year as well, and there apparently was an unannounced game that they... we're going to have coming out, but then I guess that's scheduled now for financial year 2018-2019, which is between April and March of 2019. So, yeah, that's kind of lame. Far Cry looked interesting, but a month. That's not a big deal. That's nothing. You know, whatever.
That's nothing. Get it right.
So, finally, at long last, the time has come where... everybody that was hoping that someday we'd be able to unlock jetpacks in Grand Theft Auto 5. Well, now, thanks to the brand new Grand Theft Auto Online Doomsday Heist, you'll be able to actually get jetpacks. And so they're actually going to take place inside Mount Chiliad. They've got a bunch of new events going on along with that. So it's coming out actually on December 12th. And with that, they've got jetpacks. There's even like a flying car that I saw, a submersible car, and lots of new vehicles. So, game's getting more ridiculous as it is. What is it like? Okay, so that helicopter looks like it's something from Airwolf. That car looks like it's from James.
But does it
Bond.
Play the Airwolf theme song?
Yeah, it doesn't.
You need to find us some Airwolf now, Rob.
Does it play the Airwolf NES game?
No, it doesn't. But, yeah, it looks interesting. So the whole premise is apparently a billionaire tech mogul, an idealistic intelligence agent, and a socially awkward conspiracy theorist and a neurotic supercomputer have been forced into an unlikely alliance to save San Andreas from total annihilation. As an apocalyptic threats mount from enemies unknown, you and your criminal crew are enlisted to untangle mysteries and eradicate threats. Spanning from the bustling streets of downtown Los Santos to the ocean floor and all the way to the inner depths of Mount Chiliad. An epic new online adventure.
That's it. I'm going to make a proposition right now.
What?
Loki's rapid fire news to Airwolf.
I do love me some Airwolf stuff. A series that really should have come back.
Wait, what? Why the fuck have they rebooted, like, every... okay, I don't understand.
Knight Rider's been rebooted, like
with
eight
all those
times.
Fucking reboots they've done, how have they not rebooted Airwolf and The Love Boat? How have they not rebooted? Because I was just... okay, so you know how... this is one of those nights at OLR, right? Because here I go. I'm going to take it to a place. So you know how sometimes you just fall down those random YouTube pits sometimes, right? Where you're like, you're watching all these different YouTubes. Do you know the random YouTube pit I fell into the other day?
80 shows.
Clips of Charo on various television shows. Because Charo is the best. Like, seriously.
And she's still doing her shit.
Coochie coochie coo. It started, I think, with one of my friends posted Charo on like the Pee Wee Christmas special where she was singing Feliz Navidad, right? That whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then that led to a whole thing where I was watching Charo on Hollywood Squares. And then, of course, Charo on The Love Boat.
And she was on Drag Race.
Yeah, I was there at the finale. Yeah,
wasn't
she was
she
at
one of the what the hell?
I have seen Charo in person. That is something I can cross off my bucket list.
Was she
list.
On like the Celebrity Apprentice or like?
God, I hope not. I don't think she was.
What was the one where they all lived together for a while?
The Surreal Life.
The Surreal Life. That's right.
Yes, she. What Charo was on that.
Yes.
Do you know what my dream is? Is there somebody out there that could have Charo tape a very special introduction for Orange Lounge Radio? Like, I just like before I die, is that a thing that could happen? Like Charo does the intro. Like Jason, I love you. You do wonderful things for the show. But just for, I think Jason would even understand. For 1 week, can Charo do the intro?
Do they have like a convention that she would go to?
I don't know.
We need a Charo bumper.
Like a drag right. convention or something.
Maybe she does go to DragCon.
I am going to DragCon next year.
That's something that's going to have to happen. All right. SSG 100 Matt says Charo is all over the I Love the Blank. And other VH1 shows. Oh my God! They said that they did reboot The Love Boat in the 2000s or early 2000s.
The Love Boat.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, but I remember one
nobody
time.
Nobody likes Speed 2, so I mean
that's that's true.
When I used to do live action vampire role play, yes, I did vampire LARP.
Uh-huh.
We had a group of us would walk around, and our theme song was The Blood Boat. We had lyrics to it and everything. I don't remember how all of them went, but it was pretty funny.
Oh, LARPing. Hey, let's move on. I got some more news for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about a game that has been announced with some alpha footage out there on YouTube called Super Retro Maker. So this is somebody taking Mario Maker type of thing to the next level. You can make stages inspired by, I'm using that in my quotey fingers, inspired by games like Mega Man, Contra, Strider, Castlevania, and more. Because if you actually look at the trailer and look at these characters, it's not quite Mega Man. It's like, you know, Magamon or something. Danky Kang, Princess Zordla.
Zordla.
Sornik. The hedge goat,
Sanic,
the hedge goat, and all that stuff.
And
is
then
in the game,
don't forget, Samus's Celtic cousin Seamus are on.
Seamus and Lonk. So anyway,
Petch.
So in Super Retro Maker, you have all these characters in the game, and like you can actually build like basically like looks like a Metroidvania type of game if you want, or you can make games inspired by, you know, other types of 80s games. I think it's really cool. It is something that's going to be coming to Steam, they say. It's going to has a projected release in 2018, so you can check out the trailer there at Super Retro Maker. I was hoping when Dark Tetsuya posted that news story for us, I was hoping that that meant the game was already out, but sadly, no. They're just announcing that that's a thing that's going to happen, but kind of cool. Something that may happen a little sooner is the U.S. release of DJ Max Respect. This game's already been out overseas for a little bit. I know Shane downloaded it on his PlayStation 4, so I've played it, but it is nice to see that it is going to get a digital release anyway here in the U.S., and that's coming up early next year. I don't know if we know the exact date, but if you want to get in the know, you can actually be a DJ Max Respect partner as part of their partner program. If you get into the partner program, you would get a complimentary download code. You get an unlock all music code for event mode. You get the chance to play and stream with a developer, and you get a DJ Max emote icon, which is some type of emoji you can use, and I guess some type of PS4 plate. I don't know if that's like a replacement little front plate or something that you can do with that, but that's pretty cool. But of course, you can stream, and you just don't want to have inappropriate material with all that stuff, but definitely they're trying to reach out to some of you Twitch people to get you to basically advertise their game. But hey, that's how it works in the year 2018 when this game will be out.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, there's going to be a live action Pokemon movie, and Ryan Reynolds is Pikachu.
No.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well,
that's not Danny DeVito.
No, it's not Danny
Detective
DeVito.
Detective Pikachu, sorry.
It's not Danny DeVito, but I feel like we're going to get Ryan Reynolds as Danny DeVito as Detective Pikachu. Ryan Reynolds ain't stupid. He knows what the internet wants.
And he gives them what they want.
He does give them what they want.
He's just going to be Deadpool-a-chew.
I'm kind of fine with it. Yeah, but I still wanted Danny DeVito.
Like, if Danny DeVito was going to be whiny and not going to do it, then fine. Ryan Reynolds is, you know, was maybe number two on the list. So, sure. I just remember when he was on that Two Guys in a Pizza Place show that was fucking garbage, but I'm glad his career has come a long
way. Honestly, we just need to have, like, several Pokemon and just get the whole cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia to just do the voices there. Okay. That's my dream movie.
All right, I need to respond to Act Deft in chat, because Act Deft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, why do people want Danny DeVito as Pikachu? It's the worst choice. Act Deft, I feel like you're not watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and... You need to watch some
of that show
to understand.
They have a clip of Detective Pikachu with Danny DeVito from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Perfect.
You know,
go watch that clip.
The only thing I know of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is because I watch Binging with Babish, who does like recreations of stuff from TV and movies. And he did the rum-soaked ham.
Okay, It's Always Sunny is one of those shows that, like, when it's bad, it's pretty fucking bad. But when it's good, it's really fucking funny. Like, some of those episodes, I hurt from laughing so hard, and that rarely happens to me.
I just don't find humor funny.
But I'm not afraid to say some episodes of South Park, and I know some people don't like South Park, but, you know, South Park, I would say, is another one of those shows that when it's bad, it's pretty fucking bad. But when South Park's funny, it is fucking funny. But anyway, that's just my thoughts on the matter there.
Okay. Right. I'll post the link in chat that's basically kind of...
Act Deft is saying, I've seen the clip. It's the worst choice. I like Danny DeVito. Blah, 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 blah.
Too bad you're watching it again.
So it is done. All right. Anyway, Jamie, continuing on.
Yeah, whatever. I can't. So, other news. Streets of Rage is also out for mobile devices. And it has local cross-platform multiplayer, so you can play on iOS or Android, and you can beat them up with some bare knuckle, which was, of course, Streets of Rage over here. And that's it. I have nothing more to be rapid about.
All right, then let's, I think this segment will go by quick, because this close to Christmas, I can't imagine we have a lot in stores this week, but... Then again, they just announced that PUBG is getting the whole December 20th official release, so...
Happy December-ween!
Who's to say things can't happen in December? Well, what is out in stores this week? Anything?
Oddly enough, there's actually quite a bit. So we've got Arcana Heart 3, Love Max 6 Stars, Fearful Symmetry, and the Cursed Prince... Who's coming up with these fucking names?
Right now, when you say a lot, I feel like we get the B-list this week. Like
who's coming... Okay, well, this isn't... This is
literally the dumpster pulling up.
No, this
stuff.
Is not B-list. Okami HD.
Okay, you're right. So that's on B-list. Yeah.
Okay, so... sorry. In Arcana Heart 3, that was on PC. Fearful Symmetry was on PC and Xbox One. Okami HD, PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Party Planet on Nintendo Switch.
Woohoo!
Pinball FX3 on the Switch.
Ooh, I do really want to check that out. I love that they did a vertical mode. I think that's rad.
The End Is Nigh on Nintendo Switch. We have Goragoa on PC and Mac. Gungrave VR on PlayStation VR. Yooka-Laylee on Nintendo Switch. Omega Quintet on PC. And Romancing Saga 2 on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, Vita, and Xbox One. That's it.
Traveling to Japan, we do have some releases this week, including on PlayStation 4, Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, Hacker's Memory. This is some type of, I guess it actually comes in like an anniversary box you can actually pick up, some type of, because I guess Digimon turns 20.
Because Digimon is better.
So yeah, there you go. So you can actually check that out. That's released this week. There's also a new re-release of Biohazard 7 Resident Evil, as they call it over there. Some type of gold edition. So I don't know if that bundles some other stuff in. Also, Demon Gaze 2, a global edition, is out this week. And The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim VR is out, as well as Loco Roco 2 Remastered. Gets a physical release this week in Japan. On the Vita this week, that same Digimon game I mentioned a minute ago, also on the Vita this week, as well as Demon Gaze 2, because they love the Vita in Japan still, even though it's mostly ignored here, although I did see like read-only memories got its Vita release.
Yeah, there's like quite a few games coming out on the Vita.
Yeah, they kind of PSX. They did kind of drop a few Vita games.
Which
would
just
release
a strong, like a more powerful Vita, and just kind of go with that.
I know it's so weird how
like
Sony kind of walked
away
from that.
Vita or something like that. You know,
yeah, I'm still never going to understand why Sony just like completely abandoned that thing, but. I guess not everything is going to make sense. Quickly checking. I didn't really see anything on the Switch. On the 3DS, you can get a Monster Hunter Stories Twin Pack. So just basically a repackaging of that on the 3DS. There you go. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
There's nothing on my list.
All right.
I mean, I'm actually double checking other lists, and there's like a Fallout VR.
Oh, sure, yeah.
For order on December 12th. I'm not used to reading this list. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, Under the Night in Birth, EXE Latest. Yeah, nothing much.
All right. Let us now go to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails and we answer them. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails. And we actually have a few tonight. You might not be prepared for this order, but I know that YYR sent one at the end of the show, like while we were live last week, but the show was so short, we never got to it. So I don't know if you want to do that one first.
I already had it up first.
Well, you read my mind. You should do that more often.
Hello, LR. I was kind of surprised to hear Rob's take on user reviews, specifically how he didn't put a whole lot of stock into them. Customer reviews have been heavily influencing my purchasing decisions for many years now. First place I really paid attention to them actually was GameFAQs. I didn't pay a ton of attention to the score out of 10. What I looked at were the specific details in the reviews themselves. By looking at both those specific details and the general consensus across several reviews, I could generally determine whether I should spend my money on a particular game or not. In the end, I also wrote several detailed reviews for GameFAQs and one review of the month twice. I use the same practice today across Steam, Amazon, Newegg, and even Yelp. I look at multiple reviews, use the same combination of details and consensus to form an opinion for myself. You can also learn a lot of things about a game or product or a restaurant from a customer review that you wouldn't be able to find from the back of a box or an online menu. Things like the controls feel floaty but still responsive, or the campaign only lasts 4 hours, or the filling is really spicy, or the manufacturer says the battery lasts 8 hours but actually lasted 10. I guess what I'm saying is I've been relying on customer reviews as a good source of information, and I would personally give them a high rating, probably a 4.7 out of 5. But I understand that people can disagree with me, and that's fine. I will look forward to the end of tonight's show when Rob will end it by saying a nice 5-star review on iTunes may or may not actually go a long way since it's an online review.
Look at this bitch trying to come for me on my own damn show.
Let me finish reading the email, Rob. I'm kidding, of course, and I stand by my 5-star review of OLR. Oh, I have a quick announcement. If you have a Steam account and would like to help me test super multitasking for Windows, send me a PM on Twitter at YYR underscore.
Me.
And I will send you back a redemption code. Ask him. This includes a copy of the final game when it's released, but you'll be able to play it right away. Thank you and enjoy. Have a great week. Aaron YYR.
Okay, so to respond, and I know he said he was kidding, and obviously he's not really a bitch, but I'm gonna if he came here to play, I'm gonna throw down. No,
if that's coming for you, I'd cut your fucking.
Yes,
wings.
Right. If he gonna come for me, then he better be ready because my nails have been sharpened. So anyway, no. Here's the thing.
Rob's feeling very attacked right now.
Yes, right. I just came here to have a good time. I'm feeling very attacked. No. Here's the thing with the customer reviews. For me, there is, and again, for me. You explained how they work for you, and that's fine. You know, again, I'm not going to tell people how to spend their money. But for me, I don't really care what a lot of strangers think about things because I know a lot of this campaign shit goes on to downvote games and things like that. However, do I put stock in what my friends on Twitter say about a game? Abso-fucking-lutely. And I've been swayed on the fence one way or the other based on some of the reactions of people I know and how they react to particular games and things like that. When it comes to the iTunes reviews and why I beg for them at the end of every show, even though you said just kidding, I am going to just explain for people who go, whoa, he does make a point. Here's the thing. iTunes really does weigh that stuff. Like, and it will help with visibility if you have more positive reviews and more interactions that are going on with your show and stuff. So whether I put any stock in them or not, I just know the reality is that, and why I beg for that stuff, and why any podcaster you're listening to is begging for that stuff, really, is because iTunes, the one big problem with iTunes right now is that it really can be a dumping ground for podcasts. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of shows that I look that are in like the top 200. They haven't fucking put a new show out since like February or March. These shows are like done, you know, but iTunes still continues to kind of put them where they are because they're still
engaged.
Surprised
they don't weigh them by like how long they've, like the last release that they've had.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't know. Anyway, so I kind of, that's for Apple to figure out with iTunes, and I understand that podcasting is a tricky thing. And then when it comes to Spotify, like I really would love to get on Spotify podcasts, but with Spotify podcasts, like you pretty much have to be through Libsyn to get through that whole thing, and so that feels kind of super limiting. So I don't know. And then we used to be on Stitcher, and I'm going to tell you why I took us off of Stitcher in case you weren't around to hear that. I took us off of Stitcher because Stitcher, when they had their buyout and then they got bought again, they were having so many technical problems that our show was not updating on Stitcher when we were putting out new episodes. And this was gone for months. And I sent emails and they went unresponded to. So I said, you know what? I'm pulling our show from Stitcher because it's not fair that we're getting emails asking, oh, did you guys do a new show this week? Why can't I listen to your show? And it's like, I'm here promoting Stitcher and they can't, like, why can't they just directly tap into the feed? And I understand it's one of the things that it might be fixed now, but I done gone and moved on. So that's why we're not on Stitcher. But just about everywhere else you can get podcasts, we're there. So, or you can just go straight to vognetwork.com and listen right there in the browser. Same thing, I think, even at orangelaunchradio.com. I think you use that 10-year-old technology to still listen to the podcast.
I like using
in browser.
For my podcast because I have an Android phone. I use the Google Play, mm-hmm. The music thing, mm-hmm. and do my podcast through there. And it works. We're always updated. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
All right. So there you go. So anyway, with the user reviews, I think I kind of hopefully clarified that I will listen to users when I know them. But when they're just strangers on the internet, I'm kind of like, I just don't put a lot of stock in them. It's not to say I've ignored them 100% of the time, but I do this. To be fair, this isn't just with games. I do the same thing with Yelp reviews because I know that people will go on Yelp and they're only going to say the bad things, or they're friends with the owner and they're only going to say the good things. So there's a lot that I read on Yelp that I go, I'm more likely to believe a 3-star review on Yelp than anything else.
Well, here's what I normally do is I look at what, like, how in-depth the review is and what the criteria is. So, like, especially if it's, like, a product review, like, I want to know what it was that was broken on it or why, you know, you didn't like it and, like, give the positives and negatives and that type of thing. Because if you're just like, well, I didn't like it because it arrived defective, that doesn't help me because that can happen. But I don't know. It you just have to kind of look at it, and a lot of them are like, yeah, it was awesome. Okay, why was it awesome? Because it was awesome. It's like,
all right. Thanks for the email nonetheless, YYR. It was a fun debate, and I do still really want to play your game. So let's do that. I want to stream your game if you'll let me, but I understand you may not be ready for that. Next email.
Hello, peoples. In what ways are the movie Fruitvale Station and the game Resident Evil 7 similar? Both are projects that received lots of praise the year they came out. Both are projects that first came out in January of the year they were released. When the end of the year rewards came out in each of these projects' respective fields, both projects failed to receive a nomination in the category Best Media Form. Why did neither of these projects garner such nominations? That can be attributed to both of these projects being released in January. And by the end of the year, the people who put together the awards forgetting how impactful these projects were, also because people suck. Resident Evil 7 for Game of the Year, Fruitvale Station for Best Picture in 2013. Stay Black, Red Entertainment.
No, I agree. I forgot Resident Evil 7 came out this year.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Resident Evil 7 this year as well. But what? Here's my real question. Did it really... Was Resident Evil 7 really as good as Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey?
No. No, but it probably was as good as probably, like, wasn't, Ark, what's the other one? Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, okay. It's probably on par. It's just a different type of game. It's hard to rate survival horror games.
It's been a hard year for it's been a hard year to rank games because there's been a lot of good games. That's actually great news to hear. When something like Resident Evil 7 isn't up for Game of the Year because there's that many good games to choose from, in a way, that's kind of good news. Now, Fruitvale Station, that's a whole nother, you know, issue over there. I believe, though, I just went to the wiki page real quick because I was curious. Fruitvale Station got its Sundance release in January, and then it got its wide release in July, so you would think maybe people would remember it more. But when it comes to awards movies, usually, not always, usually those movies tend to come out towards the end of the year. That's why you have stuff like Lady Bird, The Disaster Artist, and these movies that they're talking about getting awards are coming out towards the end of the year. And usually what happens, because this is a January thing, you get movies that come out in like L.A. and New York in December to qualify for the Oscars, but then they get their wide release in January because not a lot of blockbuster movies come out in January. But, you know, earlier movies have been getting recognized, I think, a little more often. There's a lot of talk that Get Out is probably going to be a Best Picture nominee this year.
Get Out was so fucking good.
I haven't seen it yet, unfortunately. I don't watch a lot of movies. Oh, I may need to borrow it.
I hear it's good.
Yeah, I hear it's good, too, and it probably is going to get a Best Picture nomination. That movie came out kind of early for, you know.
And you know what? I think the thing about that movie is that it gets its point across in such a great way that you can't. Oh God, that movie's just so good. It's one of my. I would put that as one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, I think I don't. I highly doubt you're alone with that. So, I was trying to see because I thought in the past couple of years we've had like Oscars where, movies that came out earlier in the year were actually getting nominated, but I can't remember. I thought it was in 2015 or 2016. We had movies that were kind of released a little earlier in the year. When did Mad Max Fury Road come out? Because that got a Best Picture nom, and that was like a summer blockbuster. Yeah, that was like a May movie.
Yeah, that's another movie.
I don't think anybody expected. I mean, come on. When you heard Mad Max was getting like a sequel, I think a lot of people were going, I just hope Mel Gibson has nothing to do with it, which he didn't. And it turns out the movie was – now, that movie I did see, and that movie was pretty fucking badass. And I don't even usually like action movies that much.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty fucking good. I was very, very impressed. Anyway, let's move on. Next email.
Next email. All right, hold on. There it is. With the Switch port of Outlast announced, I was thinking about the owner of a small arcade and toy shop, specifically the Neutral Zone in Chesterfield Mall in St. Louis. And asking him, as well as you, while Outlast, Amnesia, the multiplayer Dead by Daylight, and a myriad of games full of tension and jump scares have defined YouTube's Let's Play channels, most arcade games of the genre have been action games with horror themes, your Ghosts and Goblins, your House of the Dead, and so on. For a few places where arcade games is still a thing, what are the chances of a cabinet that gives the same level of tension and helplessness of the better computer games? How would such an experience translate to coin-op gaming? What general audience design would you suggest? Well, that's from Robert M. If you remember, there were survival horror games that, like, there was the whole Gun Survivor series. Mm-hmm. You know, there was, I guess not too many in the realm of scary,
Here's the problem is that in arcades, there's going to be a lot of noise. And that noise is going to take you out of the experience a little bit because, you know, these places are sometimes referred to as amusement centers. So survival horror games aren't always necessarily, amusing. And I think the reason why people have the reactions that you see on YouTube and stuff, and I know, you know, having streamed some of those scary games like years ago when, oh God, what was that fucking game that got me like to scream on? And it wasn't even Five Nights, it was the other one, Slender Man. Okay, that's the one I play, and I was like, oh my, like, I was like crying. It was so horrible. You can't really replicate that in the arcade because when I'm playing at home, I have headphones on. The lights are off, maybe, and I'm in the zone looking at my monitor. There's nothing really to break that atmosphere. But when you're at an arcade, it's loud, it's noisy, there's little kids running right through your game. So I think it's harder to get in that experience. You know, but like Jamie said, there's been some, Like, you know, a Silent Hill had an arcade game, but it wasn't really scary. It was just pew, 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 shoot him up with a gun, all, you know, Pyramid Head and all the things from Silent Hill. It wasn't really the same thing.
You can't mess with people's heads in a loud arcade. I mean, mm-hmm. truly. And on top of that, the whole point, I mean, in the end with coin-op games is to make people put more coin in the game.
Oh, that's a good point. And if you and get the poop scared out of you, you're not going to want to do that.
No. That's not really what I'm talking about. You can't build up the level of suspense needed, especially if you are having to stop in the experience to put another coin in. Just saying.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I think we gave some good explanations. At least I hope we did. Thanks for the email, though.
Yeah, because we're smart people.
We like to think we are.
And we're so modest.
Exactly. We're very humble, too.
Hello, OLR. Why are some people against emulation of older games? But on the other, how many times do you really play said older game? Maybe 15 minutes after which the nostalgia has died down? Emulation is also often the only chance to play an older arcade game. Anyway, as always, thank you for making the podcast. Yours truly, Fabrice from Belgium. I personally don't have a problem with it. The only people who have a problem with it, I think, are number one, collectors. Who want to keep the value of their games higher. I mean, honestly enough, Dan and I are going to start selling off the collection, so that's fine. The other thing, too, I think goes with having the people who hold the licenses for some of these games who might want to do, like, a best-of collection or make their money selling, you know, those like flashbacks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is coming back to, you know, who's got their hand in the pocket.
I think with emulation, sometimes, you know, well, you know, having the hardware perfect thing is very important for some people. But honestly, I think the way that services like Virtual Console and some of the, you know, official repackagings and stuff, the way they do it is well enough, especially for people to be able to play games that maybe they missed the first time around, or they were too young to play the first time around or what have you. So emulation is great for that, but you do bring up a very good point, and a lot of people do this with emulators, is that now when you have a buffet in front of you, and you know the way some people do emulators, they'll download the emulator, and let's say they download an Atari 2600 emulator, and then like how you can download like every single Atari 2600 game ever fucking made would fit on like an old floppy disk, probably. Like, those games were not very big, right? And there was only so many hundred of them. So my point is, many people also download every fucking ROM when they download the game. I realize that's not really the legal thing you're supposed to do, but I know that's what a lot of people do. And so it's kind of like you're all of a sudden at this buffet, and it's like, oh, I want to try a little bit of that. I want a little bit of that. I want to try a little bit of that. I want that and that and that. Oh, my gosh. I guess my eyes are bigger than my stomach. You know, type of thing. So I think people just kind of get the whole, like, attention span, you know, it gets harder. And especially the older the game gets, because when you go back to an Atari 2600 game, a lot of them were kind of repetitive, but that's what we had, and that was the game, and there was something about that repetition that it can actually be a little bit kind of zen, or, you know, it's kind of like when you're building blocks in Minecraft, that could be very a lot of repetition as well. It's just a different kind. So going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. OMG in our chat says, emulators bring an embarrassment of riches. It's always choice anxiety for me, and I never end up playing anything. Yeah, it's kind of like you start playing one thing, and then it's like, oh, I want to go hear this other thing. I do that on Spotify. I'll start listening to one song, and then suddenly that song makes me think of another song. It's like I never get more than halfway through any song. Dark Tetsuya makes a point here in our chat at live.vognetwork.com saying, that's also why I like the decently sized classic systems Nintendo did. You're not overwhelmed. Maybe that's why they limit it to 30 or, you know, 24 or whatever the Super Nintendo had. Anyway, you said there was one more, Jamie? All right.
We just got another one last minute. It says, hey, OLR, I just wanted to say I love you. That's all. Hearts from Ryan.
Oh, shucks. Well, I love you too. Hearts. Thank you. That was great. All right.
That was very nice of you. Thank you.
Well, if you want to send us a little love or you want to send us hate mail like YYR did. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't. He was fine. It's
I want you to send me a donut.
Participate. Or you can send Dar Sakura a donut. I know how you're going to do that in email. You can just draw your best ASCII art maybe.
No, but, just send me like a gift certificate. I'll take that.
Except There's like two Dunkin' Donuts in all of Sacramento. So
and fuck
like
it, I'll drive.
One Krispy Kreme. Although, did you not to give them free advertising? But I guess I'm gonna. I think it's on Tuesday. Krispy Kreme is doing gingerbread glaze. Sounds really.
I
fun.
Really don't need to eat donuts.
Really? Ugh. Mm.
I don't want to regain my 25 lost pounds.
Very, very good of you. All right. Let's get into some more news stories. Then we're going to open the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But first, Loki.
Yeah, so one of the announcements that they had during the whole Game Awards was they had a new trailer for Zelda Breath of the Wild, the Champion's Ballad expansion. So they showed off a little bit of, you know, what that was with all the new, you know, gameplay stuff. Plus, they even had the whole new motorcycle thing that was in there, the Master Cycle Zero. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, it's available now. Go download it now. Mm-hmm. So you can go download it now. And yeah. And it's good, apparently.
So are you not going to talk about the loot box thing? I thought, or did, oh no, we linked the wrong thing, didn't we? Son of a bitch. I'm seeing that. Because I was like,
oh,
wait a
I'm
minute.
Sorry.
Jamie talked about that earlier in the show.
I thought that she did too,
yeah.
You know? And here
bad
check.
Link in our show roll. Sorry, that's my bad. So
No, that's all right. So we can, yeah, I guess we can talk about the legislation. So,
yes.
Kind of running back to, you know, when the whole loot box thing with Star Wars Battlefront, there was, you know, obviously Hawaii was one of the states. They had some senators come out. Talking about, you know, what needs to happen with that. And so they're coming out with like kind of what their solution would be for that. So they do want to fight the predatory behavior of loot boxes. And so Republican or Representative Chris Lee, he basically said that, you know, of course, he made the joke because it's Star Wars that it's a trap. That we're stepping up to act in Hawaii. We have also been in discussion with our counterparts in a number of other states who are also considering on how to address this issue. Change is difficult at the federal level, but states can and are taking action. So they're saying if even elected officials can't do it alone, they would need your support, and you can compel them by, you know, reaching out to your local representatives. These kind of loot boxes and microtransactions are explicitly designed to prey upon and exploit human psychology the same way casino games are so designed. And this is especially true for young adults who child psychologists and other experts explain are particularly vulnerable. These exploitive mechanisms and deceptive marketing promoting them have no place in the games being marketed to minors and perhaps no place in games at all. So they would one thing that they are thinking about is maybe having some sort of, you know, official body that basically legislates this type of thing. But I don't know.
I watched a little video the guy did that he put on YouTube. It's kind of interesting too because you start to realize like, oh, these government people are around the same age I am, and they probably grew up on all the same video games I did, and now they, you know, have that type of influence to be able to do the legislation. But I kind of sense that maybe they're just hoping to really push the game industry to really regulate itself, just like it did when the ESRB happened.
Yes, they should. And honestly, like,
if they don't, it's going to get ugly. They're going to ruin it for everybody. EA is going to fuck it up for everybody if they don't.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
But I kind of feel like, I already feel like, and I know not everybody's going to believe me, I already feel like there's a big chunk of the gaming industry that's kind of like, message received. You all don't like these loot boxes, and I think you're starting to see people already distance themselves from it.
You know, I know people have already done that, and in fact, actually, the sales of Battlefront 2 have gone down quite a bit. So, like, the sales, they were saying that right now that it wasn't even meeting the same numbers that the 2015 Battlefront game did, and they were saying I think it was only 20% of expectation that they were selling with that.
Did we not? I mean, I have to throw it out there. Do we not just hear that a couple of Ubisoft games were being delayed like by like a month and these little things?
Well,
is this
really,
why?
No, I don't know if that's why. I don't think.
Because I know games take a long time to develop. So, like, of course, these loot boxes have already been built into games that are still scheduled to be released and so forth. But every gaming company is talking about how the internet responded to Battlefront 2 right now.
Did
Everybody's
Assassin's Creed
talking about
have loot boxes? I don't remember if that game did or not.
Did
the
what?
Assassin's Creed game? I can't remember if that did or not.
I don't know. I would need our chatters to help me out over at live.vognetwork.com. I don't think so.
I don't remember, but I'm not surprised that this is happening, because look at, they've been basically kind of inching this stuff up slowly as over the years, you know, being introduced and seeing kind of like, okay, can we get away with this? Can we get away with this? Okay, we got away with that. Can we get away with this? And it just has gotten worse and worse and worse. And, you know, some people kind of can overlook it if the game's really good. But in this case, you know, even with Battlefront, it was just kind of okay. And then it just, this was such an interfering thing that you can't tie your leveling system to loot boxes. It's just nuts.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, AC Origins, they really did their best to keep the Helix system off to the side and make everything attainable in the game. Bobby Blackwolf wants to point out, Ubisoft said the delay is, the publisher is, quote, investing more time in the development of these games. This decision is in line with our strategic vision of developing even more engaging and higher quality experiences for gamers. Okay, I'm sorry. That's great that that's their official
that's
line.
PR
that
speak.
Sounds like that is total PR speak and smoke and mirrors. They're not going to come out and say, and again, to be fair, it could have.
We had loot boxes in there, and they were shitty, but we're just going to.
And it absolutely, I made that up and I theorized it, and it's completely possible. It has nothing to fucking do with loot boxes, and maybe there were just some last minute bugs that reared their ugly head that need to be squashed, and they don't want to say we delayed it because, oops, we had some bugs. They're not going to say that. So, of course, we're going to get these smokes and mirrors. But I'm just saying it is interesting. That is all. You know, and I can't help but think, Ubisoft or not, there's got to be a lot of developers with games about to come out in 2018 that maybe had the loot box system in it where they're going, maybe this isn't such a good idea because fucking Star Wars just got crucified over
maybe
it.
Maybe I shouldn't do it because I've already paid you $60 for your fucking game.
No.
And how about you treat me with some fucking respect, your own customer, because now you're like, oh, yeah, I know you pay me $60 for the game, but I need more money. I need more money, 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 money. Give me. Fuck you. I paid for your game. If you can't make that game work on $60, then don't develop that game.
Quickly, what do you ultimately think happens with the loot box issue?
I think that they scale it back a little bit and then it comes right back. Or, you know, it's possible that if legislation does go in place that they just drop them all together, kind of like they did with the online pass. That was a big thing. Everybody was doing it. Even then, like, it was like, oh, yeah, we need to fight used game sales because that's really cutting into. They make fucking excuses about everything. Oh, it's piracy that's cutting our. That's why we're losing all this money. It's because of piracy. Oh, wait, no, it's game sales now. Oh, wait, no, it's because mobile games. They make fucking excuses all the time. And in the end, it's like, maybe it's just because your game's just not that interesting and people don't want to buy it. Maybe that could be it. But, like, you know, they, even with that other system, with the online pass, they kind of like kept skirting up, oh, yeah, we need to pay for those online servers because they're ongoing. Well, wait a second. This game is an offline game. Why do you need an online pass for that? Well, we want money. And then it's just like, people just decided they didn't want to do it anymore.
Here's my prediction. ESRB will be cornered to put loot box into the rating, basically gambling. If you have loot box, you're going to get a gambling warning on your game. I know the ESRB has come out and said before that they don't see the problem with loot boxes. That was then. This is now. I think ESRB is going to be backed into a corner. They're going to have to do that. And I think developers will need to they're going to have to take the quote-unquote China rule and publish the...
We'll just have to save it for the loot... Or the
I'm not done. They're going to have to put in the percentages of what is in the loot boxes, that they're going to have to be transparent with that. And games are going to go up $10 more in the next 2 years. Be ready for it.
Well, here's the thing. With the games going up $10, you know what? Fuck them. They already charge that kind of money. No, I'm sorry.
You are... And... That's fine. You are free to choose what you want to buy and what you don't want to buy. But I'm telling you, when the loot boxes go, games are going to go up $10. 2 years.
And you know what's going to happen?
They're going to say 4K is why.
That's stupid too.
I'm just telling you.
Here's what's going to happen. And the loot boxes will still be in there. They'll raise them $10 and that shit will still be in there. Because they want all of the money. You give them some of the money and they want all of the money. That's what's going to happen. It's not because they need the money. They even said to their investors that pulling back the loot boxes in Star Wars Battlefront was not going to affect them monetarily.
All right. We'll see what happens. Moving on. Here's something a little more closer to home, which I think is interesting. A little bit of Sacramento in the news, actually. And this has to do with the Sacramento Kings. They're a basketball team. Now, they don't usually make the playoffs, so you might not have heard of them before. We do have a basketball. It's in the NBA. A little team called the Sacramento Kings here in Sacramento. And you may not know that they built a new arena. A couple. Mm-hmm. It was very controversial here in the area. And I wasn't the biggest fan of it either. But I must admit, it has really kind of pushed downtown to overall transform. You know, there's a lot of new stuff that's down there and like things to do down in the downtown area. So we have this new, you know, arena that's there. Well, the reason why I bring all that up is because it was just announced this week the Sacramento Kings put a new esports training facility within that arena, which is called the Golden One Center. Golden One's a bank around here. So they actually they have opened up an esports training facility. So they're calling it a venue within a venue, where there's a training facility, broadcast center, and gamer lounge in that same area where the Kings basically do their games. The esports venue will have fast connections, lag-free gaming, theater-style seating for tournaments and events. Professional gamers that end up on the Kings esports team will be able to access the same stuff that NBA athletes get, like the food program and the oxygen bar that NBA players have access to. The esports studios can have 4K cameras, green screens. The whole thing is on the 4K Ultra HD broadcast center. So that studio will end up being a massive backstage area for musical acts as well, with a ton of video games to play and a DJ rig for musicians to mess around with. So that's kind of interesting that they're multitasking for when the bands come to town. They could just play all the fucking video games in the training center, which I think is interesting. So that's kind of neat that that's happening in our backyard. We'll be sitting right here waiting for our invite to tour the facility. We'll just be right over here, guys. Hello.
Well, right. Yeah. When we were doing our stuff for work, when I had to do the esports thing, we talked to the guys that were head of the arena there, and esports was a big consideration when they were designing the arena. So. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No.
And I think they even said that this was one of the things that was coming, was the whole 2K NBA thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, moving on. Dar Sakura.
Well, there's another game in the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise. And it's cute. You design pizzas, feed kids, and get higher scores. And it's called Freddy Fazbear's Pizza Simulator. Shush, you're ruining my spoilers. But that's not all it is. Some kind of spoilery quotes from people. This game is not what it claims to be. Do not be tricked by the screenshots and trailer. What just happened? All you can do is play Pizza Simulator for free on Steam. That's all you'll know. And then tell us.
I'm glad it's free. That's great. Especially after the whole debacle with the RPG game.
This pizza has incomplete choices for toppings because pineapple's not available.
It's not topping.
Yes, well, no wonder they want to
shut your whore mouth.
No wonder they want to murder everybody there. That's the wrong answer.
Bitches. I also have one other very quick piece of news.
Okay.
On the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Facebook, they just quite literally an hour ago put up an announcement. This is in an upcoming update, a gardening and clothing crafting feature will be implemented. And also in the winter, a familiar male character from the series will be appearing. It looks like fucking Rover. You get Rover, and you can grow flowers and make your clothes.
Will they make more prison outfits for those that wish to build a camp where they imprison the animals?
Oh, I watched some of that. It was funny as shit.
It's pretty good.
Kind of creepy, though. I'll just lock Ed in there.
Welcome to Dark Sakura's camp. It's called Glue Factory. All right. Moving on, a couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to Skype. Loki.
So, a new world record has been set for Minecraft. That's right, speedrunning Minecraft just got faster because of a new exploit where placing an end crystal right as you get to the end allows you to actually skip the whole boss fight with the Ender Dragon. And so because of that, now the new record is actually a little bit faster. So... record originally was 4 minutes, 7 seconds, and now the new run actually stands at 3 minutes, 20 seconds. So, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the previous record. Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I saw this a lot faster. So they did it in, what was the time on this? Oh, man, I watched this earlier today. I think it was like a minute 40 or something. It was pretty quick. But see, they do it with like a set seed. Mm-hmm. So let's see.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Minute,
to kind of standardize it.
Minute 35 is what it was.
SSGA 100 Matt wants to know if Minecraft is an AGDQ this year. No, but maybe this is something they could submit for a future.
It would be really short.
It would be really short. And SGO and Matt says, I just checked and nope. Yeah, I figured that was the case.
They've had it in the past, and I watched it and I was bored. Because it's just, I thought, you know, when I thought it was like, oh, they're just going to pick a random seed and go at it and see how quickly they can do it. But it was like, oh, we have a set seed and I just have to dig straight down to get to where I need to get and then I'm done.
It's that's like hacking the game.
It's
basically.
Like, yeah, it's like, eh.
Which, to be fair, is kind of how they speed run some of the games.
And this right here, this is a tool-assisted speed run, too. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Tool-assisted, I don't know. Hmm. All right. Well, by the way, we're going to open up the Skype line. It's available right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word at on Skype. But I do have one more story to get to for you guys here, and it has to do with, I don't know if you know the name, Manami Matsume. Do you guys know Manami Matsume?
Matsumae.
Did I pronounce that wrong? Matsumae. Yeah.
Yep.
That's why my Japanese is terrible. But anyway, she is the composer of the original Mega Man game. And then I think she came back and she did some of the, I think she did one or two of the Shovel Knight tracks, if I'm not mistaken. She may have done Mighty No. 9. I can't remember if she was part of the Kickstarter stretch for that. But anyway, she is going to be releasing a solo album. So Brave Wave Productions is who she's working with for that. And the album is called Three Movements. And it's more than just chiptune and stuff. Trance will be explored and orchestral also. There will be a preview track that's supposed to release like any day, I think today. I just haven't heard that track yet. But the album will hopefully be out soon. So check that out. That's great. I'm glad to see her getting some recognition all these years later. So, all right. Well, the Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, if you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight or maybe something different maybe that we haven't got to yet. And I think the phone is lighting up now, so I'm going to get to it. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is MXC.
Hey, MXC, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
So you were at PSX this weekend.
Yes, I was.
Tell us about it. How was it? Did you go to the little Friday, like, kickback, let's, you know, smoke weed and talk about PlayStation event that they had on Friday? Or was it?
No, I didn't end up going. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
I don't blame you necessarily. All right, well, how was the show itself? Tell us a little bit about, you know, the show itself.
Sure. Well, I went actually last year, too, and I think this year's was better. It's mostly really, it's really focused on indie games. Mm-hmm. So they have, you know, booths spread all over the place, various games, all types of genres. You know, they have their Sony section, but really it's total, it's like probably 70-80% indie or small games that are there, really.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
That's interesting that you say it's better than last year, because most people are probably looking at it going, but the keynote was better last year. Mm-hmm. So what about it for you was better?
I just think they had a better setup. Like 2 years ago or less, whatever it was, I went, their setup was really small, sort of like GamerX's hall in the early years.
Oh, wow. That is,
you know,
small.
Even though it was in the same convention center, the Anaheim Convention Center, it was really small and crowded, so you had a hard time getting around.
Uh-huh.
I think they planned it out better. The floor space, there's more room between the rows, really. And I think the game quality probably similar. I just think they also brought a bunch of stuff from E3, like... not games, they brought like the setup. So they had like Sega at E3 had like this sort of Tokyo hallway thing. I don't know how to explain it, but they brought all the big stuff there to PSX as well.
You know what they didn't bring though is Phantasy Star Online 2, and I'm still salty about it. So just saying.
Oh, I wish. We all wish. But so it was more glitzy, too, I guess you could say.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good. You want to make, when people are at this expo, you want to make it feel luxurious because they spent a lot of money to go, I'm sure. And PSX is one of those cons, like, I keep meaning to go every year, but it's just this time of year is not always the best. But one of these years, damn it, I'm going to get there. But let me ask this, because you mentioned it was so much indie game. What's a game that caught your eye that you don't think enough people are talking about that maybe they should be?
Well, my favorite game that's coming up from the indie scene, and it was sort of, it's been shown a little bit of other, at other conventions, maybe even PAX, but for me it's Donut County.
Donut County.
Yeah, I think they showed a trailer for that sometime recently. But it's basically sort of like a Katamari game, except you are a hole in the ground, a small hole in the ground, and it's sort of like you need to have objects fall into it, and the more objects that fall in, the larger the hole becomes, and then you can grab bigger things like houses and stuff like that.
Okay, that sounds kind of fun. That sounds like more like, so that's weird they call it donut, because I would think like black hole or something is what that sounds like.
Florida.
Yeah. Florida. Don't fall through the Florida. Okay.
It's really cute. The art style, you know, it's like a world of animals. I think it's a really good looking game.
And you can swallow them whole. These cute animals going to die soon. That's
and then
great.
They're like, they live underground from then on.
Oh, okay. So it's a little happy ending. That's cute.
It reminds me of Animaniacs.
Does it?
Remember when they go, Ducky, go down the hole.
Was that Tiny Toons or was that Animaniacs?
I think
that was Tiny. Yeah,
was
I think
Tiny
it was
Toons?
Tiny Toons because it was Baby Plucky.
Yeah, it was Baby Plucky. Elevator go down the hole.
Elevator go down the hole. You got it, the elevator.
Yeah. Remember that. Okay, so we just took this game you're really excited about and compared it to 90s animation. Awesome. All right. Well, MXC, thank you for letting us know about your trip to PSX. I'm kind of jealous you got to go. You think you'll go back next year?
I might. I mean, I wasn't even planning to go this year, but my plan sort of got dashed because of all the fires.
Oh, right.
Well, so I just decided, I'll just go to PSX.
All right. Well, stay safe. I don't know if that fire stuff is near you, but stay safe.
It's all good. Thank you very much.
All right. No problem. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you'd like to give us a call to talk about anything that's on your mind or what have you. We will leave that open for just a little bit, and then we'll probably move to wrap up here before too long, because it is already after 9 o'clock here on the West Coast, which means midnight for you East Coasters. But we do have another call coming in. Speaking of East Coasters, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. It's past your bedtime. What's up, my friend?
What is this bedtime that you speak of?
That's right. It doesn't exist anymore once you get to a certain point. What's on your mind?
I'm on a system of 5 hours of sleep. That's all I need. 5 hours of sleep and an endless supply of coffee at work. I'm good.
I had to cut back on coffee because my heartbeat was getting funky. And so my doctor was like, how much coffee do you drink? And I told her, and she said, maybe you want to stop drinking coffee.
No!
I was like, okay.
Sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Let's not talk crazy, because that's not going to happen. I actually laughed at her. I said, that's not going to happen. So she said, let's try cutting back on coffee. Okay, that's more reasonable. And it did fix it. My problems went away.
There you go. That works. Yeah. But I wanted to mention the main reason why I stopped playing Candy Crush is that even with cheating the damn game, I couldn't pass half the freaking levels. I was like, nope, done. I can't do this anymore.
How do you cheat Candy Crush?
All right. A few years ago, there was an add-on app. If your device was rooted, it would edit your save game where you could have an unlimited amount of lives and power-ups and bonuses. And I will go into the level maxing out. When I sat there at level 412 going through these power-ups and not passing the stage, I said, you know what? I believe I am done. I'm going to find some other games to play to kill time. And then friends started telling me about Soda Saga. About 15 levels in, I said, nope, this ain't happening. I'm not getting caught up in this again. Nope, not going to happen. Nope.
I fell for this once. I'm not doing it again.
Exactly.
God, I wish that worked on me and MMOs. But it's just not going to.
Everyone has their vice. I guess what you, Rob, MMOs is your vice.
It is. It's just always going to be that.
So there's like a little syringe next to your bed that says FF14 on one. One says, wow. You know, you just pick one that you want to tap the vein for that day.
Then
you
have to get the random shit. Like, you got to bug up your ass to play the Old Republic today. Try that. So, or Elder Scrolls. Well, you met somebody who plays Elder Scrolls Online, so you thought maybe this will be a good idea to play. So, yeah.
God.
All right.
Speaking of old school, I say this one more thing, I'm going to get out of here. I think Square Enix may just be giving us Rad Racer 3.
Ooh, why is that?
I was playing around on the Google Play Store one day, just exploring. So I came across a game title of a classic NES game that Square put out that I would use to sit there as a kid, play the ever-loving daylights out of. That's on the Play Store. Do you remember a game called King's Knight?
I do remember the name, but I'm having trouble remembering the gameplay in my head. But of course, now I'm going to this good old-fashioned Google and looking it up.
It was like a top-down shooter, but not a shooter. It was a top-down, and you controlled the character, and you were just throwing weapons and stuff like that, trying to save the princess, and you chose from four different characters.
Yep, I do remember this now. Yeah.
They totally overhauled it and put it out for mobile devices.
That's pretty rad.
And I have found myself there in the company bathroom with my phone.
Dartitsu in chat says, I heard about the sequel to that. I think it was a tie-in for Final Fantasy 15. That'll be an interesting way to leverage an old product.
Oh, good Lord.
That's King's Knight, by the way, is the name of that.
Yep. So I'm like, well, this is good. I wonder what the odds of them bringing us Rad Racer. I'm just saying, hell, we got Puzzle Fighter. What more can we ask for?
Okay, but can we talk about the Puzzle Fighter on the phone for a minute? Because it's kind of crap.
No, well, we can, but let me tell you, my sister in the family, she is the self-proclaimed Puzzle Fighter champion. I've come close to beating her, but not yet. Today, I show her the game, and I'm like, come get this ass woman. Come get it. And she's like, I can't play the game. And I'm like, why? My phone can't handle it. I look at her like, that seems to be a you problem now, doesn't it?
I can't with the touch controls. I just can't with the touch controls. And it's also just kind of, it's kind of bootsy. Like, I just don't really care for it. Yeah, I know it has all these cool new characters in it, but why don't you bring me something like on console where I can use a controller or something?
Well, that's right. I could rig a controller if I wanted to, you know, but...
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I,
all right. My friend, I'm going to let you go so we wrap up the show, but thanks so much for the call.
Hey, no problem. If I don't hear from y'all soon, happy holidays, and keep all the eggnog for yourself.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
All right. Bye, Rama.
Bye.
All right, we are going to go ahead and close up the Skype line. I'm starting to, like, oh, dang, I can't believe I did a three-hour show tonight when I'm still trying to get over this being cold or being sick with a cold. So I think we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up here. Although I will check in. Is there any other last-minute stories we haven't gotten to yet that we should talk about?
No.
All right. Then I guess that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Hey, this one goes out to you, YYR. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, be sure to tell a friend or two about the show and help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or other place wherever you found this show. It goes a long way in those automated algorithms. It really does in helping new people find out about this show. So, help us spread the word. That's all we can ask for. We're not asking for your money or anything like that. Just your word of mouth. If you decided you hated Orange Lounge Radio, just make sure you keep supporting independent podcasters, independent broadcasters, and, because as independent podcasters, we should help lift each other up. Not lift and separate, but lift each other up. All right. That is it. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. Dar Sakhar, your final thought.
You say that while I'm in the middle of typing.
Sorry. Sorry about it.
Words. That's it.
This is very, very deep, very complex final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is, aside from Ready Player One, watching that trailer this weekend, what the fuck is up with the eyes in Battle Angel Alita? I mean, seriously, did they think putting anime eyes on a person was a good idea?
Actually, that was a tribute back to the manga. So I was reading an interview about it. So it actually is a conscious choice to reflect the art style for the manga. I'm looking forward to it. I really am, because I've been waiting for a Battle Angel movie for an age. So I'm pretty excited about it.
All right. And my final thought is, I would like very much to wake up tomorrow and not be sick anymore. Thank you very much. I'd appreciate it. Thank you guys for tuning in and supporting Orange Lounge Radio. You guys are the best. We'll see you in 7 days for what will be our last live show of the year. So be here then. We'll see you then. Thank you guys so much for your support, and happy gaming this week, y'all. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.